is awkward.
I was waiting to see who was going to break the silence.
And it was you.
It was me. Well, I got tired of sitting here. Welcome to the 2016 Mobile World Congress Special Edition Podcast. How goes it? I'm Phil Nickinson. I run AndroidCentral.com. We are here in Barcelona, Spain, which is why we sound a little funny and probably a little tired. Maybe a couple other things. So thank you for bearing with us for that. This is what it sounds like when we record live and we are all in one room. With me, I have Mark Wim.
Hi.
Mark probably wouldn't expect it to be started with there.
No, Mark seems caught off guard by this.
That is Derek Kessler.
Hey there.
Well, you need a better catchphrase than that. Hey there.
Hi. Greetings, mobile accomplishers.
Well, see, now you have to pay Dieter royalties for that. Andrew Martinick is here as well.
I am also here.
He is actually coming up with a list of things we are going to talk about as we begin to talk about them.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Thank
Writing
you.
A script for each and every one of us.
Oh, geez.
That is Alex Dobie.
Those are his scripted words.
Hi. Hey. Hello, mobile accomplishes.
It sounds so much better in a British accent.
Does he have to pay Dieter if it's a British accent?
No, because that trumps everything, I think.
Gotcha.
Also, he's, a foreigner, and thus not applicable.
You know, we're all foreigners this week, Derek.
Yes,
that's a fair point.
Finally, Richard Devine, who's just waiting to get clubbed over the head with something.
I was just thinking about carrying on drinking my beer. But,
that's not a bad idea. So this is going to be way looser than most other podcasts we do. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice already. It's only 11:30 p.m. here in Spain, which...
So we just got back from dinner.
Yeah, we did just get back from dinner in various places. So we are going to round up everything we have seen thus far at Mobile World Congress. Andrew and I have already done a separate podcast on the GS7, Galaxy S7. We got an early look at it.
Did a good 40 minutes on our... Or
just kind of initial
later, hot take.
Yeah, so we're going to have some other thoughts on it, and everybody else has finally gotten a chance to play with it as well. So we're going to talk about that. We've got, what else? We had the LG G5. We've got a little bit of Windows and Windows Phone stuff. Are those same thing, actually?
Near enough.
Okay.
Windows 10, all the things.
Anything?
We got Sony today.
Sony, okay.
Alcatel, yes, Saturday.
Yeah, Alcatel, we took a look at... Yeah, no, Saturday was the event.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been here since Thursday. Friday.
It's currently Monday.
All right, today is Monday. We've been here since Friday.
Yes,
and the show only officially opened today.
Right, the floor did not open until Monday, so a lot of what we're talking about was on, like, day minus one and day zero. It's pretty crazy how these things work. So let's start with the Windows stuff, because frankly, there's not a lot of it, and we just want to get it
over. We want to get it out of the way.
Yes.
So I can carry on drinking beer.
Yes.
Throw it out the window.
And at some point, somebody's going to have to get up and get more beer. We need to decide who that's going to be.
That's got
to
be Alex.
We just sort of reclosed by last time.
No. we're in an apartment. There is no room service.
Yeah.
For those of you at home, please place your bets now of who it is we make get up and get the beer. We'll tell you if you're right at the end of the show.
It's on the honor system, because it's a recorded podcast.
Sure. Why are you putting your fingers in your ear?
I have because he's already had enough of those.
So, Windows and Windows Phone. Actually, Huawei was all about Windows this
week. Yeah, it was kind of weird. They it kind of leaked out a little bit before the event, but there was no Android from Huawei this time. I think that's the first event I've ever been to from Huawei where there was not a single mention of anything Android connecting to Android. Well, loosely connected to Android, and we'll get onto a little bit, but yeah, it was an hour long presentation of the MateBook, which is a new Windows 10 2-in-1. It's a high end tablet with a keyboard, kind of like the Surface Pro, but then they're not messing about. I mean, it runs Core M, Windows 10 Pro. There's various different specs. You can spend up to like $1,600 on one of these things, which I think is maybe a little bit too much for a Huawei product. In some of the markets, they're going to be selling this, but they did a really, really good job with it.
I mean, we're talking about bringing the design elements from their phones over to a 2-in-1. You can kind of see that from the way this thing's put together, can you?
Yeah, it's. I mean, in its crudest sense, you can almost say they took a rolling pin to like the Mate 8 and the Mate S or something. You've got the same kind of, the same kind of metal construction, the chamfered edges.
And they're good pieces of hardware.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying this now, like 2 years nearly, that Huawei makes really, really good hardware. In this instance, we can't criticize the software because it's nothing to do with them. It's
10.
Yeah, plain old Windows 10, fresh from Microsoft. So yeah, I mean the hardware is superb. Obviously, it's Core M because it's a slim 2-in-1. We actually had a chance to catch up with Kirk Skaugen, Intel's VP, at the event, and he was saying how the Core M and what Windows 10 is bringing to the table, it's actually enticing the phone makers now to step up and not make an Android slate automatically and jump in and make ultimately a Windows laptop. Mm-hmm. So
is that a product that could well have run Android a few years ago, but obviously you're going a pro tablet this time around. There's much more incentive with the way Windows 10 is, with the tablet integration, the tablet mode.
And there's a lot of other people already doing
Microsoft.
It.
Yeah, sure.
And I mean, the Intel guys were straight up after the so-called phablets, 2-in-1s are the next biggest growth market, and everybody's making them. Samsung's just recently jumped in with the Galaxy Tab Pro,
and it's really nice too.
Yeah, and running Windows. So, I mean, it's like not knocking on like big Android tablets or anything, but the MateBook is a serious...
No, it's okay. Everybody else knocks on big Android tablets because they kind of suck.
But it's a serious piece of equipment. This is not a toy. It's not something you're just going to buy and use for watching Netflix on the plane or giving to the kids to play Crossy Road or whatever it is kids play these days. It's a straight up high end. The specs match the surf. They can go toe to toe with the lower and mid tier Surface Pro level, so it's all good. The keyboard is optional, like Microsoft.
It's actually kind of nice. The action on the buttons is pretty. I think they talk about the sweet spot between sort of too heavy and too light.
Yeah, the only issue I think I had with the keyboard was just the way that the case was set up, and there's every possibility that was just because I'm not very good at folding out the little stand thing. But I mean, it's very much like Microsoft's type cover. It's physical keys. It's a full size keyboard, and it takes a bit of getting used to. But it's got a multi touch trackpad as well, so all the Windows 10 gestures work. QHD display, and Huawei's obviously been doing some really kind of slim bezels with their Android phones. It's the same here. It's like I think it was like 84%. But yeah, so they've built some pretty good working palm detection software in there because they have a pen as well, and with such slim bezels, there's a with a tablet, you need something to hold onto right around the edges, especially a big tablet.
Yep.
The pre-production software was a little janky on that front, but it seems to work.
And the pen too, right? They did something different.
Yeah, the pen is kind of interesting. We had a lot of people this week playing with this laser pointer thing. So on one end, you can use it for just writing on the screen, for making notes, that kind of thing. If you move it away from the device, it goes into kind of a presentation mode, so you can use it as a clicker to jump between slides, and the other end doubles as a laser pointer, so you can point to a slide or play with your cat or whatever you do.
Yeah,
with
and they're
if you're giving a presentation to your cat.
Yeah, and they're pushing it out as a full like a full PC. It's a full productivity machine. There's a little it has a single USB-C port on the side, but there's a little dock you can buy. It looks like a kind of power bank, but it's got Ethernet, HDMI, DVI, USB 3. Everything you'd ever need. So it'd be interesting to see what the reaction's like when it actually gets out into the real world.
This kind of relates to what they're trying to pivot the Huawei brand into now, which is something for business people. And we already see this with the Mate series.
That's very much what the Mate...
They have that for the business people, and Honor is for the digital native, which is...
And actually, to that extent, you saw it in the advertising in the airport as we landed here.
Yeah. And you look at a Huawei ad now, increasingly see the suave Western gentleman with his business suit.
He
said suave.
They've gone down that road even with the case. It all folds up into a nice little folio. It's it's really nice quality leather.
Picture this. Huawei's making really good Windows hardware. Do we have to have the same caveat that we have with Android in that as well, but the software kind of sucks?
No. Because it doesn't, because it's just Windows. Because
they can't screw it up.
How about that?
Because it's just x86.
Yeah. So. I'm just saying, that's kind of...
I mean, it's
software,
really
any software about. Issues are likely
you're
to be
talking
bigger,
about
a bigger problem with a bigger fish.
I mean, drivers or whatever else, but you have that caveat with every PC manufacturer. It's really interesting to me that maybe Huawei has this new inroad into the West, but they've always been trying to do that with their phones, but never quite got there because of the hardware, because of the software. With the exception of the Nexus, obviously for the similar reasons, but if they can keep doing this, keep either making two and ones or maybe advancing in the traditional PC market, that's going to be really interesting with the scale they have.
This is going to look good on a store shelf, you know, because it's going to be in the PC section, so.
Well, the question then is, can they get it to the store shelves? Obviously, it's one thing to sell on Huawei.com, it's another to actually get it to Best Buy or whatever. We don't really have much information there, so we'll have to wait and see.
The question is, what is a Huawei store shelf? Because I've never seen one.
Well, you got to go to Shenzhen because they have them there. But
I have been there.
Yeah. They mostly sell phones there. But yeah, it's...
you know, they do sell phones in stores in Europe. It's just America, Phil, yeah.
Just saying.
But no, I mean, it opens up potential new opportunities on that front as well, because they're selling a Windows PC now rather than an Android phone. So the whole landscape changes on where you're going to want to sell it, who you're going to want to sell it through. You don't have to deal with carriers. They just, you know, in the US, as an example, they could just go to somebody like Best Buy and ask them to, you know, strike a deal for them to range it like they would any other PC.
And if you think in Europe, especially about a lot of the partnerships they already have, like with Dixon's and Gough & Wells, are now the same company. Dixon's carries sell a lot of PCs. They also sell a lot of phones. There are arrangements there with Huawei. It would be very easy for that relationship to move into something where, okay, Huawei maybe in a couple of years' time has these phones that are sold in stores in the UK as well. Just a possibility.
It was pretty surprising. You know, we never look too much into leaks because we always say, you know, a leak, a rumor, it never tells even close to any of the story. And then, you know, we go into the event and it's just flat out. They just come straight out the gate, you know, we're making a PC. So
it was almost kind of a low-key, you think about a company entering a new product category, and Huawei hasn't really done much outside of the straight up, you know, connectivity and smartphone space. It was a little bit low-key almost, wasn't it? For like, okay, well, we're making a PC now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit odd in that respect, but equally, you know, it's a crowded space. The two-in-ones, everybody wants to do one. You know, Samsung's just done one. The traditional PC makers are all doing them as well, so they've got a lot of competition to go against, but they've made something that can at least go toe-to-toe with them. So
at the same time, HP made a phone.
Speaking of, yeah.
People are excited about this. What's the deal with this, though?
This phone is... If you had like a manufacturer parts list of everything you could put in a phone right now, it's like HP hit select all. There's literally nothing really we can think of that's missing from this. Somebody mentioned OIS on the camera, but you know what? If you're buying this phone, you don't care about OIS on the camera.
This phone, what do you care about?
Everything else. So it's
writing down what this phone does.
HP is marketing it not so much as a phone, and that's important to remember. You know, it's not going to be marketed as a, you know, like a Lumia might be, as a Windows 10 smartphone. It's a computing system, and they're targeting enterprise. And you know, we spoke to some of the HP guys here, and they've got a lot of partners already on board. It's packing basically the highest end mobile hardware you can get in a phone right now. So you've got like a Snapdragon 820, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gig storage. It's a 6-inch display, but importantly, they've also got the full ecosystem of additional products to turn it into a PC experience. So they've got the dock, which they intend to hopefully sell with it. They've got a laptop dock, which is just a screen and a keyboard that you... They weren't really clear on how it connects up here, but you know, this it's kind of like that thing that Motorola did years ago, even with a lap dock, where it was just a screen and a keyboard. It's the same thing, but obviously
it's
with
a
Windows 10,
Leo.
Yeah, well, with Windows 10, it turns into a semi-capable laptop.
Hmm. So where in the display case is this one going, Derek?
The display case?
The display case.
The HP Museum.
The HP Museum.
Oh. Yeah. Well, the HP Museum is for failed products. We've yet to see that this has failed.
Oh, just wait.
But I mean, it does seem like a very intriguing take on the Windows Phone, quote-unquote, paradigm.
Right.
Because they're not marketing it as a phone. They're saying this is essentially they're leveraging Continuum.
Yeah.
And saying this is a PC. It just happens to be the shape of a phone.
Yeah, and you can take it with you in your pocket. You know, you can use it as a phone, but you can also use it with all this other stuff, and you've got the PC experience. So, but I think it's important to kind of point out that they're not they're not just going down the route of trying to sell this as a consumer phone. It's very heavily skewed towards enterprise, which from HP's perspective gives them a little bit more leeway, I suppose, on what they would class as a success. So I think they've got something like 30 partners already kind of signed up, showing interest in it. These are big HP, you know, level enterprise partners. So it's not just like a probably going to be a few units here and there. We're probably talking like big name companies. But by not kind of going down that consumer route, it'll be difficult for us to judge whether it's a success or not.
Mm.
Consumers will still be able to buy it. They said you can go to HP.com and
you know, buy one. With BlackBerry deja vu here.
But on the other hand, they've obviously got a long play because they're not just dipping their toe and coming out with a kind of Me Too device. This is way higher spec than anything Microsoft's just recently put out.
So how would Microsoft beat it?
I don't think they do.
I don't think Microsoft.
I don't think they care about beating it. And I think that's the point.
Judging by what we've seen out of Microsoft, I wouldn't be surprised if the current generation of Lumias are the last Lumias we're ever going to see.
And for a little bit of context into perhaps where HP is going with this, I spoke to somebody from Acer UK today who deals with their products that they're ranging, and obviously they've launched an Android phone, which is basically an Android version of their Jade Primo high-end Windows Continuum phone. And he said he's not going to range the Android phone in the UK because it won't sell. They won't sell any to people because, you know, when you're going up against the likes of Samsung and LG and Sony and, you know, the established names, it's not going to be worth it for them to try and bring it in because they have to sell it as a consumer product. He's excited about selling the Jade Primo because it can target enterprise. So they can go, these kind of PC makers that have now got this option to kind of make a phone and go to their existing enterprise clients and sell a phone in place of selling a bunch of laptops. So I honestly think that the enterprise might have a more exciting future for Windows 10 mobile than consumers. And a lot of people might find that hard to accept, but
it's going full circle.
Yeah. Now, speaking of PC makers deciding to make phones, Vio.
Yeah, let's touch on that then quickly.
So there's the Vio phone.
Ooh, holy crap.
We're just trying to knock over.
Phil's just destroying the pot.
We're just knocking over, cabinets full of glass.
Phil's just shocked that there's a Vio phone.
Yes.
Thank you for asking if my elbow was okay.
Hey, Phil. It's cool. No. So the Vio phone biz.
I mistakenly called it the Vio phone business in the doc. It is
the biz. B-I-Z.
Really? Not just for short. Yes. That's the name.
But here's the thing. It's a Japanese phone for Japan. So
you never understand.
What we're calling it might be...
I wasn't going to say it like that, but okay.
It no doubt has a different meaning where it's actually going
to
be sold.
Well, really, you have to see Japanese phones. They do not make sense.
I know. You don't live there.
No, look, the Asian market is very different than any other market. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
When me and Richard went to the Microsoft booth, we were like the only ones excited about it.
Well, to be fair, you're Asian.
Look at this thing.
Oh, racial. What? He is.
This is true.
And
I also wonder how many of the actual Microsoft staff there even knew, A, what it was, and B, that it was there, because... It just turned up as we turned up. They literally just plugged it in.
These things happen at trade shows, and it's not like everyone on the ground is a huge smartphone nerd like we are.
No,
they are paid to present products.
I mean, this was announced a few weeks ago. I don't think it's gone on sale till April. But obviously, for us, this is the only chance we're going to get to see it. It's a phone that's going to get sold in Japan. It's a Windows 10 phone. I mean, I was kind of surprised to see Vio spinning out a phone so early on in their new... Yeah, the new life as an independent company
away from Sony.
No, it's just Vio. So, but again, it's a continual phone. I mean, it's got the premium design, it's got the metal, and it looks really nice, and it's got the continuum stuff. So presumably, Vio is going to be marketing it alongside their range of PC products.
I mean, do we know for a fact that Vio actually making this in their own factory with their own equipment, or is it just again a case of a brand going to a Chinese ODM and saying, okay, make me this phone with this specs and put this on it and sell it?
I mean,
I don't know either way.
It kind of fits in with the rest of what we've seen moment
from the new Nokia, right? Where it's Foxconn making the damn thing. And
yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know who makes the hardware for them, but I mean, it's a nice phone, and I think the bigger thing for us with this one was that it gave a little bit more of an indication of what the bottom line is going to be for continuum. So the big thing was that it wouldn't run on existing hardware. The old Windows Phone 8 devices. And as far as we've seen so far, it needed one of the latest kind of generation 8 series chips from Snapdragon, from Qualcomm. Sorry, this has got a Snapdragon 617 and it supports it. So it opens it up to more affordable devices, which, again.
Let's be clear, the 617 is basically a 615. The 615 is a mid-range chip that's been around for almost 2 years now. It is not the cutting edge of anything anymore.
For the mobile operating system, it's more than fine, because Windows Phone has always scaled well to running on high-end hardware and low-end hardware. It's one of its one of its strengths has always been the consistency of experience. The thing with the chip was always driving that, that bigger PC-like experience. So, but no, it's a cool phone. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It was behind the camera, so...
The aluminum build was interesting. But Snapdragon 617 and Continuum, I'm interested if it's going to perform well.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, we may never know, because we'll either have to import one from Japan or...
Yeah,
but I'll have to think about selling one somewhere else. But I mean, there are no current plans to sell it in, Western Europe or North America or anything. At the minute, it's Japan and Japan only. So,
and it brings another sort of angle on this, where you think about Toshiba. I think it's Fujitsu and Bio supposedly merging. There are rumors of this happening to form this monster PC manufacturer. What happens to the Bio brand when that goes down?
Who knows. We may have to get down .
So the Samsung Galaxy S.
We'll close out with that, and we may have to put down on Japanese eBay or something to get one of
the selling on Japanese eBay.
I'm excited about the Huawei thing.
It's from Huawei in particular. They make really, really good hardware, and some of their tablets are quite nice as well on the hardware level. But I mean, I've never really been a fan of large Android tablets personally, anyway. And if the two-in-one category is as big as it seems to be, why not?
All right, here's the deal. I need a beverage. And I think the fairest... I think the fairest thing to do is for everybody listening at home to shout the name of the person you think should go get my beer. Well, wait. You go ahead. Shout it. Shout it now. Andrew!
I'm closest to the fridge.
Well, yeah. It's kind of a practicality thing. Anything else Windows-wise?
We're at this point in time, we're now kind of waiting until Wednesday, right? We've got the Xiaomi Mi 5 event, and with their recent kind of partnership starting to flourish with Microsoft, they have a proper Windows 10 tablet on sale now in some parts of the world. They have their ROM pack for the Mi 4, which I have on this table somewhere, which turned an Android phone into a Windows phone.
Yep.
So we're kind of interested to see if anything's going to come out of that, because it's probably going to be a very highly spec phone and probably very nicely made as well, so we shall see.
Okay, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break, because even though we are in Spain, we got to pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to talk all the Android stuff, so stay tuned. We will be right back. Whether you're at home or you're in Spain at Mobile World Congress like we are, you need to look your best. So go to harrys.com and use promo code AC to save $5 off your first purchase. Harry's offers high-quality razors and blades for a fraction of the price of the big razor brands. It was started by two guys who wanted a better product without paying an arm and a leg for it. And they make their own blades from their own factory. It's an old blade factory in Germany that they like so much they bought it. These are high-quality, high-performing German blades crafted by shaving experts, giving you a better shave that respects your face and your wallet. Harry's offers factory direct pricing at a fraction of the big brands. Blades are about half the price. Plus, you don't have to wait around for someone to come unlock the anti-shoplifting case at the drugstore to buy them. They ship directly to your door. It is so nice. The starter set is an amazing deal. For $15, you get a razor moisturizing cream or gel in 3 razor blades. When you need more blades, they're just $2 each or less. An 8-pack is usually $15, and a 6-pack is just $25. The starter set is an amazing deal. For $15, you get a razor moisturizing shave cream or gel in 3 razor blades. When you need more, they're just $2 each or less. An 8-pack is just $15, and a 16-pack is just $25. Great packaging. They have
very nice heavy handle, classy designs. These do not look like cheap razors, boys and girls. And with Harry's, you get the convenience and ease of ordering online. You get high-quality blades, a great handle and shaving cream, excellent customer service at half the price of the big brands. So get started with a set that includes a handle, three blades, and shaving cream for just $15 shipped to your door. And if you go to harrys.com now and use the promo code AC, you will save $5 off your first purchase.
All right, you ready? Actually, we're not ready. Where'd Andrew go?
Andrew left. He got bored.
Okay.
Andrew's coming back. So, as usual, Mobile World Congress has kind of turned into one hell of an Android fest, which is not uncommon, and that's been...
I think this has been the busiest, the most crazy, something in all the years I've been doing.
This is my seventh Mobile World Congress, and I mean, my first one was pretty hellacious because I had no idea what I was doing, and my luggage didn't show up. I was wearing Dieter's shirts, and if you know Dieter Bone of The Verge, picture me wearing one of his shirts. Yes, it's that funny.
We'll wait while you Google.
Yeah, there might be pictures out there, actually. It was pretty scary. So what should we start with? How about, the Galaxy S7.
The what?
The what?
You can probably get that one out of the way quicker, right? Because you've already done, best part of an hour.
We'll see. I mean, maybe we let the four of us kind of...
Yeah, no, I want to hear from you guys, because Andrew and I have talked about it, and
we've all seen it now, right?
My opinion of it hasn't really changed. I mean, my TLDR is, it's a really good iteration on last year's phone. Some really good additions, some things that were taken away that are now back. And I love that there's a smaller size, I think.
Yeah, I think you talk all you want about the parallels between...
Oh, excuse me, I forgot one other thing before we start this. This portion of the podcast is a podcast.
Broadcast.
Is brought to you by Estrella Dom.
That was the perfect way to pronounce that, by the way.
Water. Is that how you say it?
No.
What is it? Dam?
It's Estrella, isn't it?
What's the D-A-M-N?
No, you said Estrella wrong.
Estrella.
Two L's.
Estrella.
Come on.
Anyway, the Samsung Galaxy S7.
It's beer in a red can.
Yes.
For anybody at home.
A large red can.
Cheers.
Alex.
Okay. Continue. Samsung Galaxy. Yeah. So, I mean, you draw parallels between this and the iPhone, the two sizes or whatever. But I think Samsung's just kind of reordering its way of having devices. So you have the Note line, which is starting in limited 5.7 space, where it's been for a while. You have the main phone, which this year, and I think Samsung said this straight up, is the Galaxy S7 Edge. That's the main phone. It's the big battery. It's the edge screen, which is their big differentiating thing. And then the mini phone, which in previous years maybe would have been called a Galaxy S whatever mini, that's your normal GS7. So 5.1 inch screen. Still most of the same really great internals as before. Slightly smaller battery, obviously, because it's a slightly smaller screen. You got less space inside. Last year, we were talking about all the compromises you'd have with the Samsung phone. So, you know, it wasn't waterproof like it was the year before. You had a smaller battery, and we knew from the outset the battery life wasn't going to be great. This year, you have these much bigger batteries. You have water resistance. You have probably the best screens on any phone, although most high-end screens are getting pretty great these days. It's just nice to see that after Samsung, you know, every year there's been some weird compromise. Now there isn't. Now they're just making really great phones.
Yeah, they really... I mean, obviously, we still have to use it for a lot longer to, you know, find out if there's some kind of crazy issue. But they really seem to realize that the Galaxy S6 got a lot right. The hardware was a huge improvement. The camera was a huge improvement. The software, you know, the people that don't like the software are never going to be pleased if it doesn't look like a Nexus.
But I think I'm okay with the squircles. I was playing around with them some more today, and yes, they rounded the icons and they put backgrounds on them.
I'm okay with the software in general. I just don't even think... Yeah. I don't think there are that many issues with it.
And if you're that upset by it, you can install your own...
Put another launcher on it.
Just buy a different phone if it's going to bother you.
And unlike Huawei, they don't totally jack up your icons with some different colored background. It's like a opaque white background.
Well, and notifications work.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Does it really matter so much what it looks like as long as it actually works properly?
And that's the thing, that it absolutely functions. And it's gotten a little more muted with this marshmallow build. And
it's less kind of obnoxiously teal.
Right. And
that's been going away a little bit over the last year.
Yeah, once again, dropped some of the bright colors. They dropped some of the drop shadows and the icons. I mean, it still looks like a Samsung phone. That's what they're going to have to do every single year. It has to keep some continuity to the old one. But like I was saying, the GS6 it really only had a couple of faults, and Samsung seemed to address them without blowing up the whole phone.
There are a couple of faults, but there are a couple of big faults, right? When you get battery life wrong, that's a big deal.
I'm kind of pleased that they were prepared to not sacrifice the battery this time around to make a thin phone. There are manufacturers out there that should probably take note and just... Mm. It doesn't need to be a race to the thinnest anymore.
And so
we want battery life more than we want.
Yeah, they were talking the press conference
stupidly
about.
Thin phone. Surely
Samsung was talking the press conference about how they're listening to consumers. This is something they brought up last year as well about, you know, making adjustments based on feedback. And
that's why we have an SD card slot again.
That's why we have an SD card. That's why it's thicker than last year's phone, but has a bigger battery.
And we talked about the SD card slot in the other podcast. No adaptable storage. Does that bother you guys?
Nope. Don't care.
No, I think it's absolutely a smart thing to do, and we'll get into this with the G5, but the LG is not doing adaptable storage either on their phone.
No, I mean, but the difference is both manufacturers have really fast flash storage. You are almost doing a user disservice if you let them add in adaptable storage and let them use really slow SD storage.
Yeah,
to add on to that. So it's a decision they're taking away from the user, but it's almost saving them from themselves.
And to be fair, it's a decision that the user probably doesn't even process.
Yeah.
Of course.
But if they put an SD card in there at all, which Samsung doesn't think they're going to do because they took it out in the last generation, they added it back in because people just complain too much.
So, I mean, Samsung straight up says that they see the SD card, again, from user feedback... They see the SD card from their users as being used to transfer data between their phone and their computer. Mm. It doesn't stay put in the phone, and it doesn't stay put in the computer. They transfer files back and forth. And you can agree or disagree about what percentage of people do that, and I think it's a small percentage of people that are quite vocal. But it did not take that much work for them to just put it back in there.
No.
And they didn't add any additional overhead by putting in this adaptable storage thing that's just going to confuse people further.
Right.
When they go to swap their SIM card and it pulls out the SD card and all of a sudden they have problems.
Or even better, when they get a new phone and swap the SD card over into that.
Right. Or they buy the, you know, $8 Class 4 SD card off of, you know, some deal a day site, and they pop it in there and... 3 months later, it's dead, and now that you know they have data issues.
You know, in the meantime, their phone was slow as balls.
Right. You know what I need to write is like, don't use an SD card. Just get good
at all.
Get good cloud storage somewhere.
Look, there are right and wrong ways to use an SD card. If you use an SD card for storing photos and for like an offline music,
sure,
that is absolutely fine. That is
absolutely
not
I think that's all I've ever used an SD card for on a phone. Just offlining a bunch of.
Yeah, if you're just storing media,
it's
fine. That's, which is what it's designed for.
Any SD card will deliver media at the rate it needs to be delivered.
Sure.
The cheapest SD card will do what you need it to do.
So,
you don't want to put apps and stuff on.
This phone is more than an SD card, though. And so the big...
Wait, what?
The last thing that we haven't talked about...
what?
The GS7, you know, the GS6 probably had one of the best cameras available on a phone last year,
yep,
of any phone. And they just went ahead and improved on it.
Except in one key metric.
In one key kind of...
In one metric.
Yeah. So, look, it's 12 megapixels, not 16.
But that is not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. Actually, kind of interesting.
Well,
it's,
and hang on. We haven't taken this thing outside yet.
We haven't.
True.
And we've used it in demo spaces, which is never representative in a call space. The phone
fastest.
Isn't finally yet. It is fast as hell.
It's really, really fast. It's just like... We were there in the demo area.
You lift it
like,
up to take a picture.
Yeah, the focus is... It's almost instant, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
so in previous phones, like say the previous Galaxy S6 and the current generation of iPhones, they use a smattering of pixels across the sensor to also manage focusing. On the S7, they use every pixel is also used to help manage the focusing.
So 12 megapixels of pixels to focus.
Yes, and it is bloody fast.
And on top of the camera being super fast to open and capture and process photos, it's all super fast, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be a degradation in quality as a trade-off.
Here's the interesting thing. The GS6, every GS6 phone, including the Note 5 that's on the same series, has that sensor. It's a 16x9 sensor, so if you're shooting in 4x3, what does it chop the sides off? So if you've been doing that on your GS6 or your Note 5, you go to the GS7, that's the exact same number of pixels. You're near enough the exact same number of pixels you're going to be getting with a 12 megapixel 4x3 sensor that you got on the GS7.
Is it a 4x3 in
this? It is, I checked today.
Excellent.
And you were, yeah, you were already shooting at like a little over 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, to be fair, most people probably didn't set their GS7.
Or
GS7.
They're wrong. Yeah.
But it's also worth noting that this has a brighter aperture.
F1.7 instead of F1.9.
And because it's a 12 megapixel sensor, each pixel is larger, and that combined with the brighter sensor means that it can take in,
the price of
in theory, much more light. We won't
and
know
somebody,
for sure until we
somebody at HTC is crying in 2011.
Unless their processing is so bad that the laws of physics cease to be a thing, then
right.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty good at low light.
They compared it to another phone at the keynote, right?
The iPhone 6.
Whoa.
Whoa. Not just another phone,
Mark. Sneaking in there.
Yeah.
And they did this in our briefing as well. They are absolutely putting this thing up against the iPhone.
iPhone 6S
and,
Plus.
Which is no slouch in photography at all. And look, you always take these sort of samples with a grain of salt.
But the GS6 already beat the iPhone 6S Plus in a lot of different areas.
I just don't see how this
can't be better.
The GS6 beat it in our own photo.
Can't not be better.
And I say this as a person, I'm not
yeah,
a
Central
Digital Rider, I'm not an Iowa Rider,
yeah.
I write across all of Mobile Nation sites, and putting the photos side by side.
And you actually use
I
more,
use all
more of the platform.
Yeah,
right?
An iPhone you've been using this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been using an iPhone and a BlackBerry Priv. The iPhone has an okay camera.
BlackBerry
Priv Life. The Priv has
wrong.
A terrible
No, it's
camera.
Not wrong.
Keyboards for life! But...
That was like the way it works in Barcelona is there are alleys all up and down the place, and we're staying off a place called La Rambla, which is very busy, especially toward the weekend, especially on a week like this. It's loud out there. You hear random shouts and fighting. But Derek shouting out keyboards for life may be the strangest thing I've heard shouted since we've been here.
People walking past the window below right now are just like looking at like... Who's this guy?
Okay,
it went dead outside.
Yeah,
it was just like what?
Yeah. To be fair, the rest has been in Spanish, so you don't quite know.
Yes, but anyway, the the Galaxy S6 camera is a fantastic camera. We put it head to head with all the other cameras,
yeah.
And it came out on top or at the very, very close to the top. The improvements that they've made on the technical side of the Galaxy S7 bode really well. For the quality of that camera going
yes.
forward. Because megapixels, as we've been saying for 4 years now, megapixels are not everything. All they get you is a bigger
yes.
photo.
So with all that out on the table, we spend a lot of time on SD cards and cameras. So 90% of the phone we have not talked about.
Okay, so
the phone does other things.
The rest of it's pretty nice.
Right.
We've got a big one and a small one. We've got a curvy one and a flat one.
Right.
The flat one
is really
the basic...
Nice.
The curvy one is the big one.
The curvy one is the big one. So the S6, so S7 Edge is 5.5 inches, and you have the regular S7.
I think that was a good choice, though, as well, because I was never a fan of the original S6 Edge because it didn't feel comfortable to me. It was too small with the, you know, with the tapered edges. It didn't feel right. But the bigger one felt more... It was just felt better to use.
They've also made a lot of changes to the way the metal feels.
The bigger one?
I never liked the smaller edge. It just felt weird.
But if you look at the way they've changed the metal on the S7 Edge, and of course the glass as well, you have curved glass on the back, you have obviously curved glass on the front, and you have this fine trim of metal on that side, which doesn't dig into your hand. Obviously, it's less grippy as a result. A little bit slippery to hold onto, a little bit of a slippery fish.
Oh,
he slipped it in there.
That's a line. Where did I use that line?
That was about a year ago.
Was that the M9 line?
That was the M9.
Mm. Okay.
We're a downer.
I just think any reference you have to explain as being on a podcast an entire year ago, maybe a bit.
Go back and check.
But okay, yeah. Go back and check.
So holding on both of them, I think the changes benefited the GS7, the smaller one, more because it added a little weight and it added the curve in the back, which was a nice deceptive way for them to add a millimeter of thickness for the more battery,
mm-hmm.
while saying, "Oh, look, we added the curve glass in the back."
Yeah,
and
it's nice back on the Note 5, right?
Right, and the camera doesn't stick out as much. Oh, it's because the phone is thicker. They didn't have to say that because it does not matter that the phone is a millimeter thicker. All they're thinking about is the camera doesn't stick out as far, the curve is nice, and it has more battery.
For all the talk of Samsung copying Apple, they're making the opposite design decision this time around. They're not chasing thinness the way Apple has.
And really thin and flat, just that's not how your hand is shaped, and it doesn't work like that.
And it's worth noting, you said the changes that they've made. This phone... at least externally, is very similar to the previous generation of S6, which is fine.
It's like a GS6 with the back from the Note 5.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
And if you're upgrading from a Galaxy S5, you're getting one hell of an upgrade.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And look, I think Samsung has settled into this every other year thing. We don't talk about it like we talk about the iPhone.
It works for Apple, so I mean, why...
Well, Samsung has settled into this. This is the first time we actually hit this point.
Right? No, I don't think it is. No, you look
GS3,
at
the GS3,
the 3 and 4 were similar.
No. I was going to say GS4, GS5.
Nah.
GS3 was the Pebble year. That's the one I came to learn.
And the 4 was similar to that.
Well, you think so?
And then the 5 went waterproof.
They took the rolling pin to the Pebble.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have gone 4 to 5.
But talk about going more than 1 year back in MWC.
Yeah.
But so what... What are your final thoughts? Which one is your preferred phone?
That's the question.
I'm all about the smaller one.
Same
here.
I'm going smaller.
That's crazy.
I like the Edge. They've done a lot of really good stuff.
It's really cool. It's worth mentioning
that they've brought back all the Edge software.
The ruler is back.
He's going to put a ruler on it.
Widgets.
Measure 11 centimeters of things all day long.
So we're talking about old podcasts.
Yeah, but none of us know how.
I think back to IFA 2014 and showing, we got the first pictures of the Galaxy Note Edge as it was.
Correct.
And you guys were just coming out of the briefing and we were looking at these pictures. I don't think there's a single person that looked at those first pictures of the ruler on the Note Edge.
Oh, we thought it was ludicrous.
Out laughing.
Yeah,
I still think it was ludicrous.
And it's still ludicrous now.
It's kind of campy, is what it is.
They made a smart decision now that the Edge is not dedicated to anything. It can just be the regular phone until you pull in on that tab, and then now you can have a little more there. And now that makes a little more sense with a larger
phone.
Your
phone has a display that can display any image that you want.
Is not dedicated to just a vertical scrolling.
You see where I'm going with this, okay?
I think that the whole idea of the curved edge meaning something
is
to the software is ridiculous.
It's a design feature. Don't try and make it useful.
But that's why I like the smaller one, and somebody else can buy the big one. That's fine. So
I think we're pretty
almost unanimous on the small one being the better phone.
Well, I mean, for us.
I think for the people,
it's better for you.
Yeah,
I mean, for some people, they'll want the big battery. You know, 3600 milliamp hours with more efficient internals, potentially 2 days battery life from a phone, a Samsung phone, is a huge deal. Be able to do that without casting an external.
Well, look,
around.
Again, we're saying that based on sheer numbers. We don't know.
We don't know, but I mean, look.
But the
first couple of days we get our hands on it, we're not getting 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, you tell me you got a 3600 milliamp hour battery.
It's less about 2 days, more like going through a day like today at a trade show,
right?
Being, you know,
I had to charge the Note 5 at dinner tonight. I mean, that's
not charging the Nexus 6P this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, not uncommon, but 3000 I think is probably the baseline for what we consider to be acceptable.
So we have obviously a lot of nice things to say there. But what about the competition, which went head-to-head 3 hours earlier or whatever their event from LG?
Well, speaking of batteries, the LG G5 does have a removable one.
Gasp.
The LG G5 does have a battery.
It's funny.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Battery capacity.
Phone has battery.
It's funny what people are focusing in on. And I love reading comments after something like that, especially because Andrew and I have been working on the GS7 for the better part of a week before.
Better part of 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks almost.
So I don't know what you've been doing.
Yeah. I did a bunch of those days. Andrew and I woke up this morning to see who had more page views, actually. It was pretty funny.
He was yelling at me before I was even open.
I think you had two more posts and like 25,000 more page views, which is not surprising. You did the hands-on for the GS7. But yeah, it's been fun to write about and see what people hone in on. And it was the USB-C that they were really unhappy with. That's not using USB-C.
Oh, honing in on
the about that and I missed it?
Honing in on the GS7.
Yeah.
No, we completely went over that.
No, all right.
Because it was like a foregone conclusion at this point. They're going micro USB.
GS7 is using micro USB. That makes sense to me.
I am perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
And we can talk about this at the same time. The G5 has USB-C.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird to see both camps clashing. I see arguments on both sides for both phones. Depends how invested or how forward.
And some of the things that the G5 is doing, they couldn't do with micro USB.
Hmm. Like the VR headset.
Exactly.
Impossible to do without.
And Derek and I talked to Samsung this morning. We sat down with the product people, and USB-C is absolutely on their radar. At some point, they will switch to USB-C. They are just not doing it yet. It is still way early in the lifespan of USB-C. Look no further than the cables that are all passing. So, you know, everybody's looking for Google to tell them which cables to buy. That's not what a mass manufacturer like Samsung...
I don't want to have to go to Google to find out which cable I need to buy to charge my phone when I've got a drawer full of micro USBs.
To say nothing of all the other accessories Samsung has.
And to say nothing of the fact that when you, most USB Type-C phones right now aren't even using USB 3.1. You're not getting the benefit of the faster data transfer, anything like that.
And they already do quick charge on micro USB.
I love USB-C. I love the reversible nature of it. That's probably the best thing. But it is still way early in the lifespan of USB-C. It is way early. This is not like the change from mini USB to micro USB. No.
But that being said, so LG jumped into it, and where do you think that came from?
LG was already kind of
there. I mean, they made the Nexus 5X, so they know what that's about.
Yep.
But they decided to do this with their leading device.
Yeah, like we said, you got to do it for the VR.
VR goals.
I keep forgetting the names of
LG 360 VR.
Wow. Thank you. The little goggle things.
Yeah. So, and they're good. We'll talk about them.
So we're starting from the port, but maybe you should start from the top down, high level specs. The port is not the most important part.
No, I don't think it is. Yeah. They already have quick charging. It's not like you lose quick charging because it's micro USB.
And it's quick charge 3.0 actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think people need to back off that a little bit.
I saw a couple of comments like, the Galaxy S7 would be my phone, except for micro USB.
If that's your differentiator,
I don't understand how that can be a deal breaker. Someone at Samsung is so happy that you think that that's the only thing.
That's like saying it has wireless charging but not power mat.
That's pretty darn close.
But it does. Yeah, but it does have power mat.
But here's how ridiculous it is as well. I put a quick post up on Windows Central about a new portable SSD from SanDisk.
Yep.
And somebody sort of said, I'd be interested in this, but it's not USB-C. And I was just thinking, how is that even a consideration?
It's speeds and feeds. You were focusing on the wrong thing.
It's crazy.
You were absolutely
crazy.
So let's focus on the right things with this phone.
Which one?
That's a very good question.
We were trying to transition into the
G5. I tried like three times.
Yes, I know, yeah. I know.
So let's run down the things that the G5 has. Let's start with
the battery.
It has a removable battery, which...
Sort of, yes. Yeah,
which, it went to a smaller screen.
Here's the thing about the G5.
Went to a small, a lot of things.
We keep jumping around.
Sorry, Derek. Go ahead, Derek would really like... Can I have one of your Filipinos?
You can have a Filipino.
Thank you. Not you, Mark. Mark can have a Filipino.
Okay, we're going to have to explain this reference to people.
I don't know what chips are going instead.
No.
Explain what a Filipino is, you said, with a full mouth.
A Filipino is this... weird European cookie thing.
Is it spelled the same way?
It's spelled with an F.
Yes.
So yes.
Is that one L or two?
One L.
How many P's?
Filipinos.
Google it, you'll find
it. That is the right way to spell it.
Filipinos.
I say this because my piano teacher growing up was Filipino and my name is Phillips. She could not spell my name.
But these Filipinos are not people. They are...
Wow. Wow.
They are little...
Wow.
They are
Mark, on behalf of Mark, on behalf of all my fellow white men at this table, I apologize. Wow.
They are these weird little
round cookie things.
Yeah.
Crack cookies.
They're kinda like Oreos.
Donuts, but they're coated on the outside.
They're kinda like white chocolate coated Oreos, yeah. They're really good.
Just eat your Filipinos, Derek.
Emails go to phil@bandcamp.com.
Damn it. This is what happens when we all end up in a room.
LG G5.
LG G5.
So the LG G5 has a removable battery. What makes this interesting is it is a full metal phone. Correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't seen a metal phone with a removable battery.
HTC did it.
The kind of
is
with
the HTC One Max.
The Sensation had a little
pop out.
There have been a few like janky HTC designs.
Here's Derek's point. I see where he's going.
Yeah, so this is accomplished through...
And if he doesn't get there, I'll get there for him.
The bottom of the phone...
Comes off.
Essentially, if you take your screen and draw a line at the bottom of the screen, that entire chunk of the phone slides out with the battery.
Yep.
And then you can take that battery, pop it off that, and slap it onto a different bottom of the
that
phone.
That is...
It's...
So literally, the entire battery is in the chin of the phone.
No, not at all.
The battery is
vertical.
It's about maybe 2.5 inches by 3/4 of an inch.
Thank you for reading Android Central, Richard. You've been busy, I'm kidding.
Phil, I was at a Huawei event while all this was going on. So
you slide this out. It's essentially stuck on top of the chin. And you detach it from the chin.
It's like an old school Wi-Fi card or something for a laptop. Yeah, that kind of thing.
And then you attach that to a different module, and you slide this and attach it to your phone. It reboots.
Right.
And that module adds new functionality that was not present with just this, chin.
And what functionality does your phone have while it's rebooting?
None.
It's a nice paperweight.
Yeah, it reboots pretty quickly. So yes, it has these modules. They are optional. They are completely optional. There are two of them.
This was the so-called magic slot.
Don't call it the magic slot.
It is not the magic slot.
What are they called?
Dr. Wu.
Modules.
Dr. Wu, and you've heard us speak of Dr. Wu many a times, he says, I don't know where you guys got magic slot from. We've never called it that.
Some guy on the internet just thought that was what it was going to be.
There is nothing magic about it. It's a pretty simple physical connection.
It's actually very basic.
Yeah, no, it is, but here's the thing.
It's so basic that Handspring did it in 2000.
It sounds like the sort of thing that, you know, has been going on with PCs and stuff forever.
Look, if you told me a company in 2016 made a modular phone, and even that, I think, is kind of pushing what this really is.
Yeah, it really isn't the same scale as Project R, right?
Yeah.
No.
I would worry about things fitting properly, and to be fair, we've seen, two phones, okay? When we get into production models of this, it's something you're going to need to look for. How well are the parts going to fit together?
I was looking at ones in the LG booth that obviously have been taken in and out, you know, 100 times.
Sure.
And you could start to see the light coming through the gap on the
side.
That
is going to be a question. Well, here's the other thing. I also got to wonder if it was put back all the way. So you push this button on the side, and it pops out one little corner about 1 millimeter, and then you grab that and you yank it all apart.
And your phone turns off.
And this is not something... No, it does not turn off quite yet.
You push the button, it just pops open.
Yeah, as soon as you pull it out.
As soon as you disconnect the...
As soon as you remove the battery, the phone turns off.
So the initial pop is just to give you something to...
It unlatches.
But it's not like you're going to be swapping these things out, you know, 10 times a day.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. Like, at a trade show, everybody's doing it. Because LG's demonstrating these things... It's like they're showing it off and putting the new ones in.
So what are the new ones?
Are you going to do it at home?
So there are two modules.
Yes.
There is the
I want to see if you get the names.
The LG Cam Plus.
All caps.
All caps.
Yes. And the LG Hi-Fi Plus with B&O Play.
No, you got to say the whole name. Bang & Olufsen.
No, it's B&O Play.
That's the brand.
That's Bang & Olufsen sub-brand.
All right.
Derek knows his B&O.
All right, let's talk about the camera. I'm calling it the camera grip.
So essentially it is a camera grip. It adds, 1,100 milliamp hours of battery.
Correct.
Yep.
Which brings it up to roughly 4,000 total.
The math, by the way, the math didn't quite add up when they finally gave us the specs, but you get roughly 4,000 milliamp hours total.
If 3,900 is 4,000, then yes.
Yes. Sure. Yes.
Close enough. I mean, look, that's 2% difference, whatever.
And it's battery you didn't have before.
Yeah.
It adds that battery by essentially adding a DSLR style-ish
thickness
grip
didn't have
onto
before.
The back of the phone. it does make it thicker, but that gives you something supposedly to grab onto when you're using it as a camera. And then it adds physical controls for the camera. There is a toggle to launch into the camera and exit the camera. There is a video record button, a two-stage shutter button, and a zoom dial.
Is that reprogrammable? Is it only for Zoom?
We do not know, but presumably only for Zoom.
So this is going to be... Look, they have open standards for this stuff.
What else would you use it for?
So yeah, conceivably...
I don't know. ISO? Shutter speed?
True, it does have a manual camera.
Well, I mean, look. Buy a camera. Buy a real camera.
LG wants me to think that their camera is so good that I don't need another camera,
It is. Conceivably, you could... Somebody could make a better grip for this, and I think I really kind of hope somebody does.
I love to see a camera grip that has like a tripod screw and all kinds of stuff.
Do you think it's anywhere near open enough for that to happen?
They said that there's going to be an API for it. They worked with Bang & Olufsen to make this sound module.
So if LG themselves could only have two modules at launch, they think that a third party is going to show up and just make a module.
The question is necessarily even having two, or if they launched with 12. It's an issue of market share. Whether
and look, they have exactly 12 months before all these modules are completely useless.
Well, that's my big question, because LG is a company that is notoriously unafraid to have a short attention span.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that sentence for a minute.
They made the LG rolling bot at the same time.
No, let's not even go there yet.
Whoa.
Wait,
you're jumping way ahead.
Yeah,
we've got 18 more features on this.
This is the company that, with the original Optimus G and with the G4, had this very beautiful, I loved it, They call it the crystal reflective process, where you have...
I mean the Optimus G, you said G4.
Optimus G and the Nexus 4.
Or Nexus 4, excuse me. This crystal reflective process, which, you know, put these shiny things under the glass. It was beautiful. I loved it.
Very.
That was the only time we saw it. They quit doing it after that. We asked Dr. Wu back in our History of Android project why they abandoned that. You know, was it too expensive? Did they just get bored with it? The answer might have been both, probably.
That's basically like, and they literally went from that to... like greasy fingerprint magnet.
No, plastic. They went from that to let's put the buttons on the back of the damn phone.
Yeah, that too.
And put a bunch of greasy plastic.
And put a bunch of greasy plastic in. But I mean, that's crazy.
And then this year,
the back of the phone.
And then this year, they said
no.
Then no, you skipped a step.
Yeah. Then they
or
went
two.
To well, a couple steps. They went to leather on the G4.
Optional leather.
Optional leather, but it's pretty awesome.
And then they said it was pretty much compulsory leather.
The,
right?
The only time I see a G4 leather. Out in the wild, it has a leather back.
No, I've seen some plastic G4s this week, and they look horrible. They're
people good. Are terrible, making yeah, terrible decisions.
They are not good.
They need to rethink their lives.
And then they said, yeah, leather, whatever. And, you know, we've talked about back buttons and small bezels being a good thing. Oh, now we're going to kind of have normal bezels, and we're going to put the volume keys back on the side, and we're trying another thing.
Yeah,
it's going to be metal this time.
I was thinking about that as I was writing this brief comparison today, about because you lose, I'm not sure where my G4 went, but you lose the really sleek lines and the kind of sharp edges of the mm-hmm. G4.
They went very rounded and smooth.
Which I think you have to do when you're going to have a bottom of the phone that's going to come off like that.
But if
that
you go back sense. To the G2...
Alex is fondling my V10 right
I mean,
now.
Look, I look at this and I look at the G5 and I almost think that this is the nicer phone. This is the nicer way of doing a removable
the
battery.
Again, Alex is fondling the V10. V10? How do you say V in...
We say...
V? The letter V?
Okay, just check it. Like,
okay.
For Vendetta. Yes.
But no, look, this I think is almost a nicer way of doing it. Okay, it's obviously not metal all around.
Right.
Yeah. But the style of the bezels, you've got really super thin bezels, but with the stainless steel sides.
Well,
I almost prefer this to the way they're doing things with the
G5. Well, let's talk about that all metal on the G5. I don't think it feels that. It doesn't feel solid, like it was a full piece of metal. It feels like it was metal wrapped around plastic to me. It feels thin,
there's
and not substantial
it.
And you know thick and heavy.
It didn't have that, like, you know, when you pick up like a metal phone, it always has that cold feel.
Yeah,
and it was lacking.
This doesn't
which
have
is
that cold
feel. Bizarre from a metal phone because metal, by its intrinsic metal properties, feels cold because
you're,
it's pulling.
I mean, even
it's
the,
pulling heat.
Even the Note 5 and GS6 has that feel, just on the sides, but it has
yeah.
that feel.
And the G5 is missing that, despite being in the all-metal body.
And so can you applaud LG for just continuing to try something new, or do you wish that they had kept with the G4 ideas?
There are still more things that we have to talk about this phone before we give it that. So let's talk about the screen.
Did we do a G5 podcast? Because maybe we should have done.
We are right
so
now.
The screen has an always-on display, but unlike the V10, it's not a secondary display. This always-on display is right in the middle of the screen.
And also, it's an LCD, so the whole screen
yes.
is on.
Well, but not quite.
No.
It is an IPS LCD screen, but they have made their own custom waveguides and backlight and processing module for the always-on portion. So you hit the power button and put it to sleep, and your clock comes on.
Yes.
And they say you should expect between 0.3 and 0.8% hit on the battery per hour.
That, and I was talking to Alex about this. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah,
no,
but
I think you're going to waste more checking how much battery you've wasted on the always on
yeah.
display.
I want to see how it works out.
As
in
both LG
use.
And Samsung said, because Samsung also has an always on display on the Galaxy S.
Except they do it in a way that kind of makes sense and not in a way that's
yeah.
yeah.
So,
but no, as they both said, the average person, according to some random numbers I've never heard of,
right.
but they both had the number. 150 times a day is how many times the average person either turns on their phone or it lights up for notifications.
Well, I'm sure they had numbers on that.
And LG
yeah, they got numbers from yeah. somewhere on that. They both had the same numbers.
Yeah.
But LG is still saying up to 0.8% percentage point per hour.
Yeah.
Samsung is saying 1% a day.
Because they have an AMOLED screen.
Exactly. So I'm thinking, that's a lot of battery drain, and we're talking about a 2,800 milliamp hour battery.
And we're talking about seeing the time on your phone.
Yes.
I don't think
right.
I want to give up
I think
10% of a 2,800 milliamp hour battery.
So can you turn it off? That's the big question. Is it compulsory?
Presumably you can.
You can turn the Samsung one off too.
I would assume that you can, but you know, we didn't have time to
check. Anyway, small deal.
So that's a smaller detail. The bigger detail is on the back. Like the V10, this phone has three cameras. But there's only one camera on the front this time. Yes. And they put the wide-angle lens on the back.
Yeah, and they very much took the scheme from the V10, which is you have one wide-angle, one normal angle. I wish I had a better word than normal.
So they're not doing stupid 3D stuff. This is not the Optimus 3D or the Evo 3D or anything like that.
I think it's just a cool option to have.
It's just straight up you can shoot with the regular camera or the really wide camera.
The regular camera is 16 megapixels, and the wide-angle camera is 8. And it is 135 degrees wide, to the point where if you're just like holding the phone, you know, landscape-wise in your hand and your fingers are on the back edge of the phone, they're going to get picked up in that 135 degrees.
We're going to see so many wide-angle photos with fuzzy fingers around the edge.
Exactly. Right. It's the point where you have to like move your hands around to the edge of the phone.
So this is something you would normally, you would need like an Olo-clip lens on the back to give you like a fisheye type.
Right. And we saw Samsung do that with the Galaxy S6. They have a case that you can screw lenses onto.
With the S7, yeah.
With the S7, sorry.
But of course, this way it's just built into the phone.
Right.
You just hit a little button in the software and it turns to the...
But here's the problem. When you're dealing with the hardware budget of a smartphone, do you want the manufacturer to pay for one good camera and then if you want fisheye, whatever, you pay an you buy an accessory? Or would you want the same camera as last year, which we don't know for a fact, but it's more than likely that's what LG's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a secondary camera, which is the lower resolution with this weird fisheye stuff that you're probably never going to use.
Sure. Now, the LG G4 camera was a fantastic camera.
It was,
if it is just as good in the G5, I am okay with that.
I'm okay with that, but if LG is standing still, they are moving backwards relative to everyone else.
LG is trying something different. This is what we were talking about. LG is
trying something different to a fault.
Yes,
makes no sense for the product.
Yeah, with this phone, they are trying so much different that it's almost too much.
You know what, it might not work.
There's a lot that hasn't worked so far for LG.
Yeah. Well, no.
Here's the thing. If we look at this from our US-centric point of view, we see the market as Apple, Samsung, LG.
It works really well in Korea.
Yeah. Well, Korea is a small market. And they're also dominated by Samsung and
Korea. But a big one for them.
Yes. But when we look at it on the global perspective, it's Samsung, Apple, Huawei, Xiaomi, Lenovo, and then you finally get to LG in place number 6 with less than 4% market share.
Sure. Which, if you ask somebody on the street in the U.S., they would not put LG at number 6.
No.
In terms of...
Because they haven't heard of Huawei and Xiaomi, and they've heard of Lenovo.
And the LG has really good marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they're going to market this phone.
I think they're going to market the hell out of it. You look at
it's
what
gonna
they're
be,
doing G4.
It's going to be the modular stuff. It's going to be the metalist. It's going to be the friends.
It's going to be
the rolling box.
And we still have to get to the friends and the LG rolling box.
It's not going
to
be the rolling box.
It's friends of
it's
LG.
It's going to be the audio. I think the audio and
there's the module.
Yeah.
There's the Bang & Olufsen module, the LG Hi-Fi Plus with B&O Play, which adds a dedicated digital to audio or digital to analog converter to your phone in a whole new headphone jack on the bottom and outputs at 32-bit audio. Granted, you're going to need good headphones to do this. They are selling a bundle that'll include the G5. This module and a set of Bang & Olufsen.
That's my question. How good do the headphones have to be?
You're going to have to probably spend a couple $100 on something that doesn't have the name Beats on it.
I've got a $300 pair of Bose.
They'll probably, you'll see the difference.
You'll see whatever.
But you're going to be buying good headphones.
Exactly.
Right? So.
And it's also, it will upsample lower resolution, quote unquote, audio. Lower bitrate audio, if you will, to that higher bitrate. But it's sort of like watching 1080p content on a 4K TV. It looks better, but 4K content looks so much better.
And so
your collection of audio, chances are, is probably almost all going to be upsampled to be played on these headphones. And you're going to need to be listening to something like Tidal.
And what percentage of the potential phone-buying public did you just address with those features?
Approximately 0.2%.
Okay, I was going to go like 1%, but
It's worth noting, though, that the Hi-Fi module is at least the same thickness as the phone. It adds maybe an eighth of an inch of length to it.
Yeah.
It looks a little weird because it's this black plastic module on the bottom of an all-metal phone.
Yeah, does that come in another color, by the way?
As far as we know, it's only black.
Wow.
The G5 does come in silver, gold,
Pink. And
not rose gold, but pink.
You're not going to have a pink barrel of some modular water.
And Titan, right? Which is sort of a dark gray.
Yeah, Titan is the name for like the gunmetal gray.
It looks weird, but it's at least a module you can stick on there and leave on there forever.
So that discussion is a perfect example here. Like, LG, you can market that. That makes a good commercial. Like, look at this crazy specific thing that this does. It shows the power of what the G5 can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then that does not resonate with people long enough to want to go buy that phone because it could potentially do this high-res audio.
Yeah.
They're doing the gimmick thing still. Samsung says, our gimmick is a screen look that looks great no matter what you're doing. The camera is extremely fast.
The camera is going to take great pictures no matter
what you're doing. The gimmick is everything is really good.
Right. The gimmick is just a good phone, and they've really got down to that where Samsung was doing gimmicks before.
Mm-hmm.
Like even in the GS7, they brought back waterproofing. It's not like they're standing up there throwing it into buckets of water. They just said, oh, it's waterproof.
It's waterproof down to 1.5 meters for 30 minutes.
Right.
Which is, you know, pretty significant.
Next point. Longer than I can stay at 1.5
right.
meters.
Right. Let's, talk about how the camera destroys the iPhone 6S Plus. Like, they just move right on.
And it's worth noting, in LG's briefing, LG compared themselves to Samsung.
Yep.
Samsung compares themselves to Apple. Sure. Granted, Samsung still outsells Apple on a large scale. But as far as consumer mindshare is concerned, Apple is number one.
We did a post yesterday in kind of one of those roundtables asking who won MWC. I don't think anybody wins MWC.
I think I won MWC. I have Estrella.
Yes.
But and he can pronounce it, apparently.
I think, and I honestly think this, it was a bit of a hedge, but I still believe it. LG did really well for LG.
Mm-hmm.
I still think I might think the G4 is a cool
one. Oh, good job. You tried.
No.
It feels patronizing.
It does feel patronizing, but it's
not. I don't think they mean it that way. But I don't.
But LG did a really good job for LG, but Samsung is playing on a different level than LG. They just are.
Yeah, and that's been a huge change in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And for me as well, like I noticed, I've only seen both phones really, you know, briefly, but since the G2, I've loved the phones that LG's been putting out. And this would be the first year that I would go and buy the Samsung phone with my own money. Of the LG phone, the last, you know, like since the G2, it's been the other way around. I've not felt the Samsung phones this year. Even just after a brief play at the booths, it'd be the other way around.
I mean, let's talk about the events as well. Just the spectacle of these two put on, because
LG was first.
Mm-hmm.
We walked in there and they had the big white screen and some weird light things, as everything does. And their event was focused around playing more. Yeah, granted, both LG and Samsung started out with the same sort of message, that smartphones have become pedestrian. That they're just tools to all of us. And we aren't, you know, using them as with as much gusto as we used to.
For most people, they are.
Yeah, which is fine. With exactly what they are, which is fine. You know, they're not quite hammers. This is not Hammercast.
Hammercast,
Universal Spy.
I think we have our show title.
But they're both looking to make the smartphone something that you're going to use more.
Mm-hmm.
LG's way of going about that is to just give you all these features and things that you can do. Samsung's way is to make it what it does better. And there's just the sheer spectacle of the two. We walked into
the sheer spectacle of the presentation of Samsung.
Yeah, we walked into this.
We walk into this auditorium, which is based around this giant cube.
Yeah, there's this huge cube.
We did that part already.
Okay, right.
We did?
Yes. Did we?
No, we didn't.
No, we did not.
Or did I do? Oh, I did that at dinner tonight.
So we walked into the Samsung.
We walked into this auditorium.
He did that
based around this giant cube.
It was like, I told the story once tonight.
Yeah, so it was built around this giant cube. You know, chairs directed inwards to this cube.
And on every chair
was
a Gear VR.
And when things kick off, the entire presentation wasn't in VR, but the way they kick this off is this cube opens outwards.
Yeah,
this cube has a giant screen on it that is just there for the first 2 minutes.
Just we're sitting there like, oh crap, are we going to take pictures? Oh, we don't have to take pictures? Awesome, that's great.
Yeah, let's sit back here. Oh wait.
But and then suddenly there's a stage in the middle of this room far away from where we sat, because we didn't think there was a stage.
The stage opens up, and DJ Ko,
the new JK Shin is out, DJ Ko is in.
Yeah, the new president of Samsung Mobile.
Yep.
Yeah, is standing there in the
JK
middle of the...
JK Shin is
Yeah,
he's not out.
He's not, yeah, he's, yeah, he's moved out.
Different.
And DJ Ko is the new president. He's in the middle of the stage that was inside this cube, and I'm thinking, has he been there the entire time waiting for this? Has he been there for 2 hours?
Magic.
And then there are more screens underneath the screens that just lifted up. And then, you know, they go through, they're going through the features of it, and they say, put on your headsets now. And then they go through a VR sizzle reel, essentially.
Yeah, it wasn't that great, because Gear VR resolution still is not that great. At some point, there was a picture of the phones on the screen, and, like, the words Galaxy S7, and I couldn't really read them.
And this isn't really the Gear VR experience. This was all on rails. You weren't interacting with it. You weren't choosing what you want. They were just going to pipe these visuals.
It was a 360 video. You could look at the stuff that was important.
But it's still, what, like 3,000...
There were at least
powered by 3,000 phones.
At least 3,200.
5,000 was the number I was given today by Samsung.
Okay, so there were
that's a lot of
5,000 headsets in there, and then they gave away 5,000 more.
Yeah.
So they gave, essentially, they used 10,000 headsets for this.
Yeah. Effectively, $1 million worth of hardware was in that room.
Yeah. Just for us to look at, let alone the stage itself and everything. And they were just—they ran through features like at Apple speed.
Sure.
They didn't bother. They didn't say what chip is in this. They didn't say how much RAM was in there. That how much internal storage it was, because they know it to the people that are the average public that's going out there and buying Samsung phones. It doesn't matter how much RAM is in this phone.
And just the contrast of
it's
this.
4 gigabytes, by the way.
Yeah, four gigabytes.
Yes, 4 gigs, 32 gigs of internal storage.
The contrast of this with the old weird Samsung, where it will be feature, but also this weird
Broadway show.
And
weird lifestyle.
This
kind
was
of
one of the most focused professional presentations I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, to be fair, how it should be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't need all the associated junk. We don't need, you know, like dancers and...
It's
I don't want to know how. I don't want to know
the
how
DJ Ko dancers coming.
Yeah, but it, you know, I don't. It's like I say. It's you're looking at Apple presentation. It's always professional. They come out. They just run through what people want to know. And what people want to know is why they're going to want to use
Samsung,
the phone.
Samsung uses more overt spectacle than Apple will. And I think maybe you know that
the Gear VR thing was sheer spectacle.
Yeah,
it did not need to have
the giant cube in the middle.
But it was great. Look. I thought Berlin was the best that they've done.
Whoops.
Chips Ahoy are over.
Careful, everybody. Sorry.
Chips Ahoy down!
I had to get a drink.
You say chips, Ahoy.
I thought Berlin was probably the best event I've seen from them.
Yeah, so the Berlin event at IFA last year, we had this
That was the Gear S2.
That was the Gear S2, just for the Gear S2, because the notes are even announced. We had this circular stage in the middle. Circular stands around and focusing in on, you know, the entire theme was circles because the Gear VR and the rotating display and stuff.
Oh, I
the
get
rotating
it now.
Metal, right?
Yeah.
So, this is something they build into the nature of all their presentations,
yeah.
And it is all about the spectacle, but it's something that no other manufacturer in the Android space does.
I don't think anybody anywhere does.
No.
What are you waving at, Derek?
Andrew's trying to stack beer cans.
We have this pyramid of beer cans up against the wall in the kitchen.
It's the beer-a-mid.
The beer-a-mid, excuse me. Andrew is contributing to it right now. I thought this was their best event I've seen. And I thought Berlin was incredible.
Berlin was a really good event. This was absolutely incredible.
And
the highlight of it, though, was... And I'm sure they didn't want this to be the highlight.
Yes.
Was when Mark Zuckerberg walked out.
He totally snuck up on
us. Everybody's sitting there, 5,000 people, VR headsets on. And Mark Zuckerberg just walks past everybody because they can't see.
There's a great picture that somebody took, probably a pro took it, and Mark has up on his face. Mark, because we're on the first name basis.
Yes.
Put up on his Facebook page. It's going around like everywhere. People keep asking me, there is a person very visible right next to Mr. Zuckerberg.
Aisle.
Look, I am not the svelte young man I used to be. I get that. I also very much have a beard right now. That's not me. I don't look like that. Even on a bad... No, not on a bad day.
Hey, this is a person you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
I apologize.
Listen to a podcast
if you're
right
listening,
now.
Email is phil@android.com.
If you're out there, I'm sorry.
I mean, if it was Phil, Zuckerberg would obviously have just stopped. You know,
he would have stopped and said, hey,
tap
would like,
shoulder.
Yeah,
you know,
would have fist bumped.
Yeah.
So that would have been it. It's not me.
Yeah.
Quit asking.
So they brought out Zuckerberg to talk about essentially VR.
Because Oculus powers Gear VR.
And Facebook is the biggest source of VR video.
No, because Facebook owns Oculus.
Right.
And they're also the biggest source of VR.
Yes.
Yeah, they've got a lot of 360
videos. Honestly, and we talked about this at dinner, I had dinner with Verizon and some press people tonight. And that was, they said, what's the big thing at MWC? And it's VR.
They're trying.
Well, even down the show floor, you've got the Samsung booth. To the right-hand side, there is just it's a VR like theme park ride type experience. They've got this kind of roller coaster thing going on. You go and sit down in a bunch of, there's like 3-4 rows of seats.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hilarious watching it, to be honest, because you've just got all these people with these headsets on interacting with it as if like they're on a roller coaster. We can see them with their eyes covered, throwing their arms up in the air and all this, and it looks kind of ridiculous, but it's right there. It's at the very front of the booth, and even just like to the right of it, SK Telecom, a Korean carrier, mm-hmm. they've got a VR experience. This submarine thing with Oculus in, and it's everybody seems to want a piece of the VR. Obviously, HTC's got the Vive Consumer Edition here as well.
There were two VR portions of Samsung's presentation. And for the second one, I didn't put the headset on. I got up and took photos and tried to get some video. And it was incredible to watch like 5,000 people essentially moving their heads in unison to follow whatever was happening on the screen. It was weird and incredible at the same time because you just see everybody. Well, I can't demonstrate it because I'm on a podcast. But
and also you're but one man.
Yes, I am but one man.
By the way, as we're recording this, there's a great Twitter war going on of people retweeting. I just put out a picture of me at the event next to the guy who Zuckerberg next to. Oh my god, it's Dieter, Ashley. Neither of you are listening to this, but I love you both. Sorry, continue.
Zuckerberg, he looks at VR as a very social experience, which is kind of weird to be, the demonstration of VR that was in this was not a social experience at all, it was a shared experience.
Yep.
But there's nothing social about it.
No. You don't get much more antisocial than that.
Yeah, and to be fair, you don't get much more antisocial than most current VR implementations.
But it was a hell of an event. It really was.
It really was. It was an absolutely incredible event. They pulled it off without a hitch. There's nothing that we can look at that and go, really, Samsung? Really? Like we've had in years past. They've gotten their act together on hardware, on design, presentation, advertising is the only thing where there's still occasionally some stuff where you go, really, Samsung? But that's even pretty rare nowadays, too.
So Samsung's doing a lot right.
Yes.
What about LG? I mean, LG is still in this weird, almost gimmicky phase.
Yeah, the G5 is, it almost feels like they took everything that was on the drawing board at LG and rolled it into one phone.
I said they swept everything off the cutting room floor and poured it into this phone.
Yes, and as a result, it feels like a bunch of... a phone can have a gimmick, that's fine. The Note Edge had a gimmick. The Galaxy S6 Edge was a gimmick. It added nothing substantial to the experience. It was just cool. But the G5 is lacking that, damn, that's cool factor.
I don't think there's any single... there are a bunch of gimmicks, but nothing that really raises it to the level of...
None of it together. Mm. I would say all these gimmicks combined lower the phone.
Yeah. It's still focused. There's a lot of good stuff in that phone.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in that phone.
And you know what? The camera module is not the worst thing in the world. I wouldn't buy it.
You don't have to buy it.
But you don't have to. I like the idea of the high-def audio module. I really like that idea. Because you're not going to carry around a DAC in your bag.
Worth noting that this DAC, you can pop it off the phone and put a cap on it. It adds a USB-C port on the other end. And you can use it with... They didn't say how, but you can use it with iOS, other Android devices, and with one other platform that I'm blanking on right now. But you can use it as a dedicated external DAC for... Mac.
Windows.
No, not with Windows, with Mac.
Mac, yeah.
You can use it as a dedicated DAC for other devices. So if you want to listen to high-def audio off of your Mac laptop, you can. It's really neat. It's a neat concept, and the execution is solid. But somehow it feels like it's... it's not something that had to happen. They could have just put a better DAC in the phone and called it a day.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask. So
No, you can't, because that requires more hardware, and that requires a bigger phone.
Well, because...
And a more expensive phone.
So can they could have made this phone a quarter of an inch taller.
And $200 more expensive.
We don't know how much these modules are going to cost, which is another thing worth
doing. It would have been expensive.
So what's the difference between what LG is doing with this, then?
It might have been more expensive, because you're not going to get the economy of scale.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, it's more expensive now. The module is more expensive than if it was big.
It's more expensive, they make these modules, no one buys them.
And every one of these modules,
piece in 6 months.
Because every one of these modules is the bottom half inch of the phone, it has to have the USB-C port built into it, and it has the external speaker built into it, and it has to have a place to attach the battery when you put it back in.
This isn't just a case.
No, this is not just a case.
This is a
these modules
of the phone.
Are portions of the phone. The phone does not function without this module attached, because there's no place for the battery to stick into. So that means every module has to have at least these bare minimum parts going.
And also, you know, the regular base, if you want to call it that, has the aluminium portion, the other portion of the antenna that's in there, all this other stuff.
Yeah. I'm not sure they put any antennas in the base of the phone.
Well, at least the lines to join around where the antenna is.
To make it look like it.
Yeah, to make it look like.
Yeah. It's...
So what's your 2 or 3 sentence conclusion on the G5? Derek and Phil have spent the most time with this phone.
Sure. My short conclusion is LG's throwing everything against the wall with this phone, and I don't know that any of it's going to stick.
I think it's going to stick, but they're just going to have a really shitty wall at the end of it.
Phil?
All the pieces from the G4 that we loved are in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a fast phone, a phone that's not uncomfortable, a phone that's going to take really good pictures, and a phone that has some interesting options, including high-def audio, which for some people is going to be important. And... the potential for more, not the potential, they will have more modules. They said, we have more modules, we're just not ready to announce them yet. I don't know what they are. I have no idea. Then this could be a phone for you.
So but at the same price, minus the modules, but plus lots of other things, you can have a Galaxy S7 Edge.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just making sure you knew that.
Yeah, I mean, the question is that what you want? And I mean, resoundingly, we know what the answer is. This is not going to overtake the Galaxy S7. It's not.
No.
But they really want to try and fight.
LG loves to try things, and I love that about them. I really do. They fearlessly try stuff like this. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. My question is, you have this company that has this really short attention span. What happens when you invest money in this?
Where is the incentive to actually pour money into
the product? What happens when the LG G6 comes out and it's just, they say they do modules on it too, but it's just a physically different design.
And it's made of velour or something like that.
Yeah.
Like a velvet.
It still does modules, but the modules aren't compatible.
Yeah, exactly. Unless they literally make the same phone 2 years in a row, then there's no way these modules are going to work.
Well, they can make the same bottom portion of the phone.
It seems like more of a hassle than
as long as the battery fits in the space the battery is supposed to fit in.
And as long as the battery is the same size, which...
physically the same size,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. I mean, let's talk about all this other stuff.
The other things that LG did.
So we have the LG
this was
G5.
One part. Oh my god, LG did so much stuff.
The LG G5
and friends.
Hey, by the way,
that's not a Saturday morning cartoon.
I'm just gonna throw this.
Make a really nice one.
Hey guys, I'm just gonna throw this out there. We are closing in on 90 minutes.
Okay.
On this podcast. Here's the deal. I have opened it up to Twitter in a very quick Twitter poll. Do we keep going or do we stop? Right now, it is 77% keep going.
Yes.
Do they know how long it's been?
Yes, I told them.
Oh, God.
23% says stop. So we're going to keep going. In a couple minutes, we're going to stop and we're going to do one more ad read. I'm telling you this right now.
Okay.
I know they're supposed to be transparent. I don't care. It's important and it's awesome that people are willing to pay for this podcast. So continue.
I'm just going to go vote from 3 different Twitter.
Alex is voting stop.
We have the LG G5 and we have...
Friends.
And friends. So, the friends Friends is a new, essentially, the LG G5 accessory ecosystem.
Yes.
And presumably Friends is going to extend to future LG handsets.
This is outside of the modules.
No, the modules are Friends, too.
They're also Friends.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought the Friends were just the wireless thing.
No, because the VR headset is wired, and it, too, is a Friend.
Oh, goodness.
Friends, the Friends are any wireless
things. The Friends concept is essentially, it's either plug and play or very minimal setup. There's no actual setup.
Right.
With the modules, obviously, it's plug and play.
These guys are laughing.
They're laughing at something on a computer that I can't see, and I don't like
do
it.
With
just
me
look on Twitter, and you'll see it all.
Why is every person in that picture not Phil? Is what I want to know.
This is a quick Photoshop job.
So the modules are LG Friends. They're plug in, reboot, and play.
There you go.
There is also the...
Oh, I see it now. That's great, actually.
There is the LG 360 VR, which is a VR headset, but it's unlike any of the other VR headsets we've seen before. There's the Galaxy Gear VR, which uses your phone as the display. And then on the other end, there are the Oculus slash Cardboard, which uses it the same way. And then there's the Oculus and the HTC Vive, which have their own displays and their own processing, and they need a whole computer to talk it to. The LG 360 VR splits the difference between those two, puts two 960 by 720 1.88-inch displays in front of your eyeballs with lenses to make sure it all displays properly, but it hooks up to your phone over USB-C.
So, I mean, a couple of advantages, disadvantages there. Advantages, it's actually higher resolution than what Samsung's doing.
Yes.
Disadvantages, you have a wire running from your face down to your phone.
Sure. But then again, you're having something attached over your face anyway, so what do you care?
It's a good point. It's a valid point. If you're sat on a plane with this thing on, it doesn't matter whether it's a Gear
and
VR or an LG thing.
Advantage, it is lighter and thinner and narrower than any other.
It makes you look like Jordy LaForge.
Yes.
And there's also the fact that the Gear VR can keep the phone adequately cooled, whereas if it's in your pocket, it's probably going to be hotter than it is.
Or you can just leave it out. You don't have to.
I mean,
it doesn't have to be in your pocket.
It doesn't, but Samsung has more temperature control over the device.
Sure.
So what can LG do issues than that?
So essentially, it is more or less the things that they said it can do. It's for YouTube 360 and Google Cardboard stuff. Presumably you can make more apps for it, but those are the only things that they indicated that it works with right now.
So there's no kind of fancy proprietary software system or anything?
No.
There's
none of that.
A lot of the other
guys. But as an LG G5 friend, you plug it in, it fire up the LG Friends Manager app where you manage your friends.
God, that's so weird.
And you may have to download one or two apps, but then the setup is automatic. There's no pairing. There's no setting of settings to make sure it does all this. It's all automatic. In addition to that, there is the LG 360 Cam.
Yes.
Which is a dual sensor, dual lens, 360 degree camera. We joked that Samsung was going to do the same thing at their press conference, and they did. So both of them have these 360 degree cameras. The LG camera, being an LG 360 or LG Friend device, pairs automatically with your phone. You open up the Friends app, you hit 360, it pairs.
Theoretically, we didn't see that happen because
yes.
There were 30 of the damn things in the room we were in.
Yes. In theory, you are not going to have several other LG 360 cams.
Unless you're surrounded by many LG friends.
Yes, if you have many LG friends, you may. Lastly, there is the LG Rolling Bot, which is an LG friend.
It's going to be everybody's friend.
It's just the LG Rolling Bot.
It doesn't say that. Phil anthropomorphizing a rolling bot.
The LG Rolling Bot says...
It
really does.
It only makes it sound like a robot, not Derek doing that.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
No, it actually has recordings of me broadcasting as a speaker.
Although it can play recorded messages of you to play for your pets when you're away from home. And
it also has... You can do that now
with webcams.
Yes, but you can think of it as a larger, like 6 or 7 inch Spiro, but far more advanced because it has a built-in camera, microphone, and speakers. You can control it over Wi-Fi internet access, so you can control it remotely from.
Yep.
You can be in Phil's house in Pensacola, and we're here in Barcelona.
Yes.
Control it.
Could someone hack your rolling box?
In theory,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. But you can use that camera to, you know, do home monitoring. It has an IR blaster, so you can actually use it to control infrared things around your house. You can
turn on your TV in Phil's house in Pensacola from Barcelona, Spain.
And then you can use the camera to watch it.
And then, and then presumably just troll his kids by like rolling around the house.
Yes, and lastly,
firing lasers at them.
Yes, like, it has a laser pointer.
Yes,
that you can use. They used it as a
amuse your cats.
To amuse your cats, or
because you know,
because the ball itself is not going to just scare the crap.
Here's
out of
the
your
problem.
Cat.
This thing is really hard to drop.
Well, it's also very early. In the
even
process.
On even on Wi-Fi Direct, I could only imagine. From Spain through the internet, trying to drive this thing around the house and then point it properly at your receiver on your TV to turn it
on. So I haven't actually seen this yet. How does it
essentially
roll? Is it like a sphere, or is it a solid
sort
sphere,
of,
or is
imagine,
it like
imagine
the Ollie
a,
with
two Richard, it imagine is, a drunken BB-8.
It is a solid works. Sphere, but there is a ring that runs through the vertical axis.
It is
able to rotate independently.
It's stabilized because it has a camera and you don't want it to go end over end.
Yeah.
So as the ball rolls, that ring stays stable. But you can also spin that ring as the ball is stationary to aim it elsewhere and point your laser where you need it to go.
It sounds like a really cool thing. It looks kind of like a first-gen LG product.
It looks like it belongs in a sharper image.
There was, you're right, exactly.
Ow!
No, it does.
It does.
It's true, but ow!
Yeah, no,
right next to the ionized air purifiers.
There's nothing sexy about this.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure there's anything useful about this.
And when it's
but then there's also, like, in all fairness, there's nothing really useful about a Sphero, right?
No.
So
no, but there's look.
We shouldn't criticize them based on usefulness.
This is one of those things LG is making because they want to, and maybe they'll actually make something cool out of it at some point. But yeah, right now it's not cool.
They're gonna make BB9 for the next.
This was my big difference about who won MWC. You have Samsung, which is very good and very shiny right now, and you have LG, which is pretty good and kind of matte, kind of a very matte finish. Maybe even a little dull with this generation.
Mm.
I think the G4 generation was shiny as hell.
Yes, I'm not going to say that it's dull. It's rough around the edges.
Yeah, yeah.
It still has those marks from where they were hitting it with the grinder.
Ball.
Definitely. Ball.
The rolling ball grinder.
And that's not to say people aren't working their asses off on it, because they are. I know a lot of these people. They are.
But the S7 is just so...
It's
polished.
It is
everything they've done with that is just
it is refined.
It's far ahead. And you know, remember we've got a smartwatch out there that they had to cancel at the last minute.
LG.
And there's a lot of weirdness going on that front. They have some work to do. They absolutely have some work to do.
So, before we move on, it's money time.
Oh. That's Derek leading into what I am about to read to you just now. Yes, Andrew is making the make it rain sign. Nice. So we will be right back, and we will catch up on all the. We're not done yet. We are at 90 minutes right now, and here's where the Twitter poll is at. Who's complaining?
I'm just.
Are there more pictures?
I was just looking at the document.
I'm not complaining.
How we're describing.
We were at 67% keep going and 33% stop. STH AHB. So we're gonna keep going.
Keep going.
2 hours. I'm calling it. So we got 30 minutes left to catch up on everything we can catch up on. Hang on. Be right back.
IT departments are expected to do more in 2016, but with less money. I mean, who isn't these days, right? But this includes the really important stuff like stopping spam and virus attacks. End-of-life announcements for trusted hardware and software options make these decisions more difficult. First Postini went away, now MX Logic. Who can you trust to do the job well and stick around? Well, try MailRoot. MailRoot will protect your email and your hardware against spam, viruses, and other attacks. There's no hardware or software to install. If you own your domain, that's all you need to use MailRoot. MailRoot's team has focused exclusively on email protection since 1997. Their interface is easy to use and loaded with admin tools, including an API. It's all designed to make your life spam-free. Right now, MailRoot is offering price matching for McAfee and MX Logic customers. Stop spam today with a 30-day trial of MailRoot. Go to mailroot.net, that's mailroute.net/android.
or you can email their sales team at sales@mailroot.net. Our listeners get 10% off for the lifetime of their account, and MailRoot protects your email from spam and viruses. That's it. That's all they do, and they do it better, and they've been doing it longer than anyone else. Go to mailroot.com/android.
All right, 30 minutes left. What we got?
Sony.
Before we get to Sony, let's knock out Alcatel real quick.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. Alcatel.
Boom key, VR box.
Boom key. Hashtag boom me up.
Basically. But I mean, the Isle 4 is... It's a kind of nice phone. I mean, I have to say I was kind of more impressed with the box. Just because, but they're shipping it with a VR kit, right? So they, you know, it's not like
the box. Yeah, is the VR kit.
It's not. Ooh, back up 1 second.
Ooh.
We didn't mention the Samsung 360 cam.
I did.
You didn't mention the LG 360 cam.
I did.
You did. All right, we're good. Continue.
There are cameras. They are 360. Now we're talking about boom keys.
Okay.
So Alcatel kind of stumbled on a hit with the Idol 3, I would say. I mean, I think they would have expected that it took off as much as...
How much was the Idol 3? I don't remember. It was like 250?
250. Yeah. There's a big one and a small one.
Right.
Mid-200s for both, depending on
what. And it was pretty good.
And so they just, you know, you keep going. Idol 4, they went up there at the event and talked about, look at our growth. We have a really young audience buying these phones. Most of them are... under 35 years old, a large portion are under 25 years old. And so obviously their marketing and their features are skewing to a younger audience. I mean, I think that they iterated nicely on the Idol 3. They kept with a nice big screen. They're doing a few interesting software things. They completely lost me with the boom key.
What is the boom key?
Yes. Leo.
Boom! Do you press it and does it go boom?
They lost me, and I still don't quite understand what it does.
Can somebody who was there explain what it
is? Oh, I was there.
It's basically, they're building it as a context-aware... Like, I thought it was the power button at first, right? It's just this little round
key. It's sitting where the power key is on Sony.
It's basically context-aware. So I think, like, long-term, there is probably a lot of really interesting, really kind of big things that you could do with it. But like for now, it does things like you're listening to music, you press the boom key and it makes everything boom.
It makes everything louder and bassier. You're watching a video, you hit the boom key and now it's brighter and louder. Or you're
on the home screen, you hit the boom key and it just animates. And
it animates the background. Or you're in the camera, you hit the boom key, it'll do... like
growing at the camera.
It'll do like really high frame rate stop motion or something.
So this sounds sort of like it has the same problem that 3D Touch has on the iPhone 6S. You don't know what it's
going
to do.
You have no idea what it's doing.
Also, why doesn't it just do all that stuff all the time anyway?
Why isn't the screen just brighter all the time? Why isn't the speaker just louder all the time? Why doesn't the camera have these capabilities all the time?
I think there has to be, like, from the context-aware nature of what they're doing and the technology behind it, there has to be some kind of bigger play with that. But you have to start somewhere small, and you know, I don't think that what the boom key is necessarily for the Idol 4. I personally think they've got to be looking at, you know, future phones to be doing something.
We'll take Idol 6 for truly understand boom key.
Yeah, their idea
context
makes sense considering they talk about this younger group of people buying their phones. But the problem is that they didn't... It's like they came up with this idea of they want to really turn things up and do all these crazy multimedia kind of things. And they were like, yeah, but how do we make that stand out as a thing that you actively choose to do so that it feels like you're doing something rather than just having the phone do good things?
See, I wouldn't want more bass. So, like, I'm happy to listen to music and not press the boom key.
Right. What if you're an old man and you just want the boom key to turn the volume down? Then maybe you're not buying an Alcatel phone.
Chances are.
But then, you know, could future generations become more user programmable? So, you know.
Sure.
Is it going to be building in
the,
you know.
That was the question I had. I said, are you going to have an SDK for this thing? Can I make it so that the Android Central app, you hit the boom key and you can leave a comment for it?
Or it just goes,
you hit the boom key and it gets rid of everyone's stories with Jerry's.
And, right. And your comment at the bottom has hashtag boom me up.
They didn't have an answer for that.
Yes.
That's something they need to know.
Because the Idol 3 was not a success because it had some single feature, like you could turn the phone upside down and it still worked. It was just a really solid phone, good hardware, good screen, basic stock-like software, and a really good unlocked price, and you can buy it on Amazon. That's why it took off, and now they're trying to get into this flow where they're more of, you know, building in features that people want to choose them, not just because of their price or just because the spec sheet, you know, they're doing things. The boom key is not that. It's not going to be the winner.
Right.
But it points to the fact that they want to actually build a brand that means something. Alcatel means something to people. Because it's no longer Alcatel One Touch, which to us it has not been.
That's fine.
But now to the rest of the world and their own marketing, it's not all caps Alcatel One Touch.
It's just Alcatel.
All caps.
Damn it.
Yeah, you know, no. No, we're not.
It's not going to be for us. It.
But
so,
but that's a good move. Getting rid of the One Touch, which meant nothing, is smart.
Yes.
Some of that, there were legal issues there with names and sure. stuff, so that was
yeah, smart. And it's worth noting that Alcatel is still not actually Alcatel Lucent. This right. is Alcatel manufactured by TCL.
We need to start drawing diagrams here which resemble the London Underground map.
Yes.
To who owns which part of Alcatel. And what stopped me to come on Charing Cross to get to right. Alcatel?
Who gets fired because of the boom?
Yeah.
So I think that's the Idol 4. I want to take a look at it. We want to review it. Lots of people are going to buy it.
Looks and, like and the VR box. You know, and it's, the VR box.
Sure.
I mean, it's just Google Cardboard, right? But it's a nice
it's
Google Cardboard.
Brilliant. Shipping your phone in a Google Cardboard box is epic.
That isn't made of cardboard.
It's plastic.
As well,
it's plastic.
Which is even better because it's going to last.
Yeah, it's a decent little shell. Brilliant. I mean, in select regions. There's been so much talk about VR here at WWDC. There's VR, and then there's cardboard. Cardboard's not quite VR. It's stereoscopic VR. Which is not...
You're not arguably Gear VR is kind of in that same area.
Right. Yeah, and we've talked about this before, about the various levels of stationary versus rotational versus, you know, immersive VR. You know, cardboard is not it. Cardboard is very much the gateway drug to good VR. Oculus Rift and Vive
just like a $250 Alcatel phone is a gateway drug to a higher end phone.
Exactly.
In a couple of years.
And by the way, we've got some Vive news in a minute, so we need to speed through.
So
this.
Let's talk about some
Alcatel close, Sony open.
Okay, so Sony. Sony kind of surprised us today. They're a little unpredictable as to when they announce the new flagship stuff.
Normally, they have chairs at least.
Yeah, they did
no chairs.
Well, no chairs this morning. You know. Shocking. Okay, but on a more relevant note, for people actually listening who weren't there to stand around in front of a TV and not see what was going on, we got the Sony Xperia X, the Sony Xperia X Performance, and the Sony Xperia XA. And probably for most people listening, the most important one, most relevant one, will be the X and the X Performance. So the base model X is kind of this almost reimagining of what Sony could do in a compact form factor. So it's a 5-inch phone. You've got a Snapdragon 650 inside, that's 650, not 615, 650, which is the new chip, which has the A72 cores, which are the really, really good 64-bit cores from ARM. So you've got that, faster performance, more efficient as a result. You've got a 20 milliamp-hour battery, so plenty of power to go around there. Really nice looking 1080p screen, metal back on this thing, plastic trim. So fair enough, you know, bit of a compromise there, but you had the same thing with the Xperia Z5 Compact, except the glass on the back, so, you know, reasonable compromise. You have the camera from the Z5, which is 23 megapixel camera. You have the really fast autofocus, and also a new feature which is designed to let you kind of keep continuous autofocus on a moving object. And it had a really cool demo I set up at the Sony booth today, which have these kind of rolling balls. Not the LG rolling ball, just rolling balls.
Sounds like what Samsung's been doing. Tracking autofocus.
Well, yeah, tracking...
Except this is tracking predictive autofocus.
Right, so they could predict where these things were going to go based on the pattern they would have in the past. So,
because you couldn't... predict the rolling bot, because that thing's just all over.
You can't stop the rolling bot.
Nope.
LG, you can have that, by the way.
That's going to be my ringtone tomorrow.
Yeah.
You
can't stop the rolling bot!
That's not going to be my
ringtone. Oh, come on, that was better.
Burn. Yeah, so it's look, it's kind of a where I see it is eventually replacing the Z Compact range. So, you know, you're going to have this, which is more like the core experience of Sony versus sort of high-end experience brought down, which makes more sense because you have the, you know, CPUs at the point now where you get diminishing returns if you try and put a super high-end CPU in something that's smaller. But of course, then you have the Xperia X performance,
which is a smaller phone,
which is super high. Well, no, which is basically the same as the X. It looks almost identical from the outside. The only difference is you get like a brushed metal pattern, like a couple of the color variants.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a Snapdragon 820 inside. You get water resistance. The regular X isn't water resistant, but you get that in the X performance. And it's a 5-inch phone with the latest internals. Really nice screen. Plastic trim, metal back, marshmallow out of the box, a new Sony UI, which has actually taken a big step forward in terms of the way it looks with pastel colors, a little bit of material design, stepping away from the sort of PlayStation-like aesthetic that we have from Sony phones in the past.
A little bit.
It's taken as
I missed the round power button. The round power button was
so the round power button is gone. It's in the Xperia XA, which is the mid range one, which we'll get to in a second.
Right.
It's gone from the Z5, right, from last year.
That's true.
And also
that was out of necessity of fingerprints.
Yeah, because it's the same sensor, and that's why it's gone this year. Because
and we haven't got the Z5 in the US yet. So,
you'll get it just in time with the Z6 and
right.
the T.
And it'll be cancelled.
Or is there going to be a Z6 after the X series?
Well, but here's the thing.
That's a complicated kind of relationship between the two, because you have the X series, which of course X comes before Z.
But with the Z series.
But we have an X series performance, which has an 820.
But with the Z5,
processor.
You have the Z5
six,
Compact.
Yeah, Snapdragon 820 processor.
Yeah.
Z5 and Z5 Premium. And you had a Z5, but you had it in three different sizes,
mm-hmm.
mostly similar specs, apart from like the screen, which obviously went from 720p all the way up to 4K.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bit of a confusing mess because
1080,
you've got a base. Yeah. No, the Z5 Compact is 720 still.
Really?
4.6, 720.
Okay.
I'm certain of this.
And this.
I'll take your word for it.
But this is the thing. It's kind of a confusing thing because I recommended the Compact in the review because it's basically the same phone as the bigger one, but it's cheaper and you get basically the same experience. But it's kind of a mess. So if Sony is going to spin it out and you get the X, which is the kind of, it's still a decent high-end type experience, but it's for those who want a smaller phone. Are we going to see maybe a Z6, which is going to be just like 5.5 inches, and it's going to be the bigger?
I think that's probably
like
the way.
Bells and whistles, everything on it, because they've already put a 4K display in the Z5.
Yeah, I mean the X series, I think is going to be this case where you have a really, really sort of sensible compromise, because when manufacturers make a mid-range phone, often the compromises are kind of dumb. You'll get maybe a metal back, but we'll get any electrolyte coating. You know, we've had a couple of Chinese manufacturers doing that, whereas the compromises that Sony makes are really kind of sensible across the board. You know, there's nothing you're really missing out on with the X or the XA.
If you want a good, decent, high-end, you know, and obviously in the performances case, if you want a high-end phone, but you want it with a smaller, I mean, it still sounds weird that 5 inches is now kind of class as a
but
small
look at
phone,
it,
but
when
you
look
want a smaller
at the size
phone,
of the bezel, when you look at the size of the bezels in the X and the XA, it's a small phone.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not big in any way.
4.5,
4.6
so years ago.
They're still catering to that market, but I think it's we won't see the full picture until we see whatever they may or may not do with the Z, because at the minute, if you just look at it on paper, we've now got the X performance as the flagship. You know, if you look at the raw specs,
kind of,
because
yeah.
you know, taking out the needless 4K display in the Z5 Premium, the performance is now the spec champion.
Mark, you've been really quiet
so,
through all this. How do you feel about Sony's phones? Mark has no idea. I just want to see.
They all look the same, but the metal stood out, I guess, and the colors were nice. But yeah, they're.
Mark, let me stand up. See. don't try and climb over me.
Yeah, they're
badly.
They're Sony phones. There was pink, green, silver. They look good. The autofocus was cool.
Good.
He was showing the ball going forward and backwards, and the focus was following it fast.
I thought the robot stuff was kind of weird.
So the we had three new phones. That's just kind of touching the XA briefly because that's also important. It's more of a traditional high-end phone. You got a Snapdragon 615, 5-inch 720p display. So all the internals take a bit of a hit on the inside. You got I think 13 megapixel camera and 8 on the front. And a small battery as well. But you have the general overall design of the X, but made out of plastic. There's no metal around the back. So it's more of a traditional mid-range phone. So, you know, that's what you're going to get. The other kind of interesting things you got out of Sony were some concept stuff. So,
which was weirdly just bundled together with these really official products.
And that's just it kind of strikes you as something that's more designed to bring attention to Sony as a brand and what Sony's going to stand for as a brand rather than an actual product that might be released. So you have basically Sony's version of the Moto Hint, which is called Xperia Ear. It's a thing that plugs into your ear that can.
It looks like a Moto Hint.
Here's the thing: we're saying it looks like a Moto Hint. Most people don't know what the hell a Moto Hint is.
It's a little Bluetooth earpiece that sticks in your ear that reads notifications that you can do.
But instead of sticking down towards your mouth, it's very, very small. Yeah. It's supposed to be somewhat discreet. And it's supposed to be worn all day.
There are pictures on us on the post about it. You can look at how it actually looks in an ear and how it looks out of an ear because
that's the only way you're going to see it.
And yeah, you got a bunch of colors. You can ask it questions with voice recognition.
You can ask it about your upcoming schedule or the weather or initiate voice calls, searches.
And because it's voice, you look like an idiot because you're talking to yourself. And
you look like Bluetooth headset guy all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. It's nothing we haven't really seen before, but there were a bunch of other things. So we had a wearable camera from Sony, which is kind of their take on like an action cam, but more for everyday activities. So you have a wide angle lens on the front. It's designed to be clipped onto stuff, maybe worn. There was a really, really creepy...
If I ever see you walking around with the Xperia Eye on it,
it was clipped.
I'm going to punch you from behind.
It was clipped
onto
a V-neck sweater.
I'm wearing Xperia Eye right now, just you don't know where.
So that was the least interesting one. The next...
Well, wait a minute. I want to touch on how creepy the introduction for this.
Two hours.
Yes,
you have 12 minutes left, and you still got another company to get to.
The Xperia Eye is bad.
It's kind of creepy. Concept. We don't know anything about it except the fact that it's got this really wide-angle lens on the front.
Richard was falling asleep.
All of these Sony concept features, we don't know if they're ever actually made available. The Eye kind of looks weird. And maybe you could do some cool things with it, but it's kind of creepy at the same time.
The other two were the Xperia Agent, which is kind of like an Amazon Echo taken to the next level.
It's like, imagine if DreamWorks designed an Amazon Echo.
Sure. So it takes in, it's just a little thing that sits on a table. It takes in voice commands, but it also has a kind of a swiveling camera that can look around. It also has a projector on it that can project some kind of information out. It can do all kinds of cool things. But that's also, at the same time, they're doing the Xperia projector.
Well, they are. That's different. So
which is just a little
like
tower.
A central family hub for planning stuff, and you can look at stuff.
Right. It just expands a big interface onto a wall that you can interact with.
Yeah. And the Xperia Agent is meant to be more of a personal assistant for you as a person. So it connects to your phone, and it shows your notifications. It ties into your social accounts. It can also, it will when they make it because this is still in flux. It is still a Sony concept.
Will these ever be products?
Who knows?
It's Sony. They've released some weird shit before.
Yeah. Sure. So maybe it will, maybe it won't. This is what the concept name means. We've had this Sony Marshmallow concept, which is experimental firmware from Sony. These are experimental products.
Yeah. I think it was strange that Sony was pushing these products as like things. Because at the keynote, they said that we keep looking at our phones. So they kept pushing this idea that these are products that will stop us from looking at
our
phones.
It was kind of interesting. They were built into the Xperia brand, right?
So the Xperia brand is no longer just phones. It's about connected stuff as well, which makes you think maybe we have to do a new watch. That'll be an Xperia watch. Who knows? I think what all these concept things are about, though, is about the brand as a whole, about the Sony brand, not the Xperia brand. Because if you go back to CES and you look at what they were doing there, this is all about bringing a sense of awe around Sony as a brand and kind of this futuristic stuff around what maybe is coming next.
And Sony has done a pretty good job about having this really cool design language across different devices. Oh, they don't all look the same, but when you see Sony products, you can often tell that that's a Sony product. And these things look super futuristic and cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
I think they definitely look like Sony products to me.
So, yeah, we have three new phones from Sony. We have one device, which will be like a Bluetooth thing, which may or may not take off, probably won't. And then you have three concepts, one of which is more of a personal projector thing, which is
projects things onto the table.
That's the very agent is a thing, which is more like a personal robot, which has its personality.
It's Baymax.
Amazon Echo that moves.
No, it's Baymax meets Amazon Echo.
Right. Yeah. Very good.
So that's more of like this creature with very some good personality, and the projector is like this dumb thing which is supposed to sit in your kitchen maybe and allow you to plan things for your family and project onto any surface above it or to the front of it. These aren't necessarily products you'll see anytime soon, but Sony saying, okay, we're a forward-looking company, we want to have these awe-inspiring things around us, and okay, please give us attention here, which everyone's doing, so good on that.
And we didn't expect it either.
Yeah,
frankly, we didn't
had no idea what was coming.
Yeah, so, and for Sony mobile stuff not to leak is a big deal, so there you go.
It was actually kind of good to see. Yeah, we were at a press event and we had no idea what was coming, and then we were actually surprised with some of the stuff we got. So
that doesn't happen often.
It does not. It's
so that is Sony. Some good phones coming, some interesting concept stuff in the future. Looking forward to seeing what they got to show us.
What's last on the dock?
Alex, you have precisely 87 minutes, excuse me.
Minutes.
To, 7 minutes. To discuss HTC.
Oh, HTC. HTC has a bunch of new Desire phones. They have Desire 530 and 630, which are basically the same phone, like a 5-inch display, 720p, Snapdragon 210 on the inside, meant to be kind of an affordable line like the Desire always is. You have a new design line for HTC, which involves having like a speckled paint pattern on the back.
And that is supposedly unique, right?
Which is kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, unique to each phone because of the way it's manufactured, which involves like spraying paint on it, because that's how it works.
A paintbrush throwing
things at it. That's a dude that HTC employs in Taipei to do that.
Sure.
You also have the Desire 825, which is kind of a little more further along in HTC's design process. The 530 and the 630 are basically the same design, going back to HTC's earlier Desire handsets. You have stylized speakers at the top and bottom, the curved design, the glossy plastic. The 825 is kind of interesting. You have these stylized cutouts top and bottom for the speakers. You have capacitive keys now, which HTC seems to be moving towards. And you also have that in the HTC One X9, which was this Asia-only phone until recently. It was announced in late December. And now that it's coming to Europe, it's coming to global markets. Dual SIM versions powered by an octa-core MediaTek chip, and really kind of just a beefed up version of the A9, which we saw in October last year. So, who knows if we'll ever see that in the US? Probably not. But it looks like we're getting a dual SIM version of this beefed up A9 variant, and that seems pretty cool.
More important.
Numbers display.
More important.
More important.
What very is more important than the HTC One X9, Phil?
We got a price on the Vive.
We did.
We got the consumer edition kind of ready to roll, right?
Yeah, the consumer edition has a few new things.
This is the collaboration between HTC and Valve.
HTC and Valve is Steam VR. They've got a microphone. Well, they announced some new hardware stuff for the consumer version of this. It links into your phones. So you get applications and stuff. So the microphone built in. This will also be opened up to developers. So you can get calls and notifications piped through even when you're in Steam VR. Of course, that can be turned off if you want to be just,
Or you can just literally live inside your Vive.
You can. You maybe wouldn't
never,
live very long. But
never go outside
that.
Of it.
Exactly.
So that's look, your mouth is free. You can eat, do all that stuff.
You know, you hook yourself up to a drip or something. I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
Hamster bottle.
That is not one of the officially sanctioned accessories. You just get the control of the lighthouses and the headset, not a hamster bottle. But they redesigned the headset a little bit, just some minor changes from the Vive Pre. It has this kind of glossy finish. The lighthouses, which I forget what the official name is, but HTC people call them lighthouses.
Yeah.
The things that connect to themselves.
They shoot lasers down to see
where
you
lasers are. Down, they power themselves wirelessly. Originally they were hooked together, now they're now wireless, so they need to be plugged in obviously, but you don't have to hook them together with wires. And they were saying that, if you want to put them high up, like you see in 5 demos, pointing down at 90 by 45 degree angles. You can do that. It will also work just as well because it's light, you know, with maybe head height on a, you know, a bookshelf or something. So, you know, they're really getting into between this and the whole chaperone system, making it easy to use this VR system within an actual room that has obstacles, that's real things in it. So there's that. And we also got a real retail price for Vive. So it's going to be $799 with a representative price in other countries. So
plus whatever computer,
you know, plus like $1,000 worth of computer hardware.
It's a lot of money, but when you compare it to the Oculus Rift, it's not.
It's pretty comparable, actually.
Yeah. It's $200 more than.
There's a lot of stuff going on in Vive. I mean, it's.
I think the bigger overhead with Vive is going to be the dedicated space with the lighthouses.
Maybe.
To get the most out of it, you need a fair big room.
You need a 5x5 space.
You said to get the most out of it.
To get the most out of it.
You don't want a 5x5 space.
You don't want a 5x5.
You want like 10x10.
At least. And the lighthouses don't take up much more space than like a surround sound speaker.
Exactly. But you can't.
And they're almost exactly the same size as one of those.
Again, getting the most out of it, you don't want this to be a room that you have like coffee tables and chairs. This needs to be a
pretty open space.
Empty 10x10 or more.
If you have this in a garage, basically take the car out, get an HTC Vive, and just go nuts.
I mean, they did show you, you know, with the setup process of this, painting an area with the controllers where you'll be able to move, and that would be your area. And if you walked out, you get like a holodeck effect with these grid lines as you know, showing you where you could go. And
there's so much clever stuff goes on in the Vive.
I mean, this has been in development for a year now. So, well, more than the obviously, really,
it's been a year. Public development.
Is it in public development for a year since they first showed at MWC 2015? And there's been a lot that's been going on in that time. So. It's coming along very nicely, and I think the price is very competitive. They're probably not making a whole hell of a lot of money on it.
No,
and honestly, I think we say, you know, that you've got to factor in the price of having a capable PC. I think the kind of guys that are going to be jumping on this
are probably going to have that anyway.
Yeah, they're the early adopters. They're going to be running powerful rigs. You know, same with Oculus. The Oculus has been in development. You know, people have been able to buy an Oculus developer kit. So there are people out there who have already been preparing for this stuff, but even then, the hardware requirements aren't that extreme to just use it. So
it was an NVIDIA 270 and an AMD
970.
970. Yeah. AMD 290, I think.
Yeah, 290.
So all right. Those are the recommended GPUs, which is a $200-$300 GPU.
You all officially have 1 minute left to tell me what is the most awesome thing you've seen this week so far in MWC. And to be fair, we have a couple days left. We've got the Xiaomi 5 or the Mi 5 for Xiaomi coming up Wednesday
morning, 8:20 a.m. for us local time.
Derek, what has stood out for you?
The S7.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenal phone.
Yeah, no, it's the S7. I've never really been like a Samsung guy myself, but I could happily go and buy one.
I'm there with you, and I think it's not necessarily just the phone, it's the confidence that Samsung has in it, that they're like, this is a great phone and we know it, and we don't have to be that hyped up about it because we know everybody's hyped for us.
Mark is next.
He snuck up on Alex's
shoulder. Yeah,
I like the S7 Edge.
Yeah. Why the Edge over the regular?
The size.
Yeah.
It's just bigger.
Bigger battery.
Yep.
Curvy. Mark likes them curvy.
I like it big.
Alex?
I think for me it has to be the LG Rolling Bot. I think...
He likes it round.
I think for all you want in a cat toy that has a laser and an IR blaster for some reason...
A remote control.
You know, LG has really knocked it out of the park with the Rolling Ball. But not the Rolling Ball out of the park. Because
that's Rolling Bot.
The Rolling Bot.
It is not the Roller Ball, the Roller Bot, or the Rolling Ball.
Or the Baller Bot. It is the
Rolling Bot.
The Rolling Bot. Okay. Yes. Which is good. That is my pick of this show.
Fair enough.
Phil, what's your pick?
I agree. Samsung won. I mean, they just did. They killed it. They made a really good thing already better. Already better. How about that? I think we killed it this week, actually.
My favorite thing is you.
I think Android
we still got two full days left.
There's time for you to not be my favorite
thing. I'm excited to have time to go see Xiaomi, because that's not a company I've covered before, actually.
I mean, we've
you know, we do little bits and pieces, right. Mainly like the Indian guys, because they...
Speaking of the Indian guys, I finally got to meet Harish, who runs our Indian contingent. He is here this week. He wasn't able to hang out here for the podcast tonight, unfortunately.
I mean, it's 1:30 in the morning.
To be fair, yes, it is.
Oh.
Yeah, we really have to cut
that. That is the sound of the man realizing he has 6 hours sleep ahead of him.
We were supposed to go to bed early tonight.
Derek and I have things to do at 9 in the morning tomorrow.
We do?
Yes, to be fair, that's an hour later than we were up today.
All right, wrap it then.
So.
Stick a fork in it.
We are sticking a fork in it. Again, this is us live around one table in one room in Barcelona, Spain. On the 23rd of February now.
Yikes.
We have crossed into tomorrow because this is a future show.
The year 2000.
Wow. So, Mobile World Congress.
Cut that out. That's all right.
2016. I do not anticipate another podcast from here because, frankly, we're not going to be awake that much longer. We will be back next week. I think next week we're probably going to get some follow up from Jerry and Russell on what they saw. And, frankly, anyone else who wants to join us who wasn't here. I will moderate that for them. Thank you for putting up with us for 2 freaking hours. If you are still here, you are hardcore. That is just...
We love you.
There's no better way to describe you. Thank you.
You want to give them an email address to contact so we know people actually made it this far?
Derek at Android Central... No, podcast at AndroidCentral.com. Send us some emails. Say hi. Send us a voicemail. Let us know what you thought. Hey, by the way, go follow us on Instagram. We have been Instagramming the crap out of this show because I told the guys to do it.
We've also been Instagramming the good stuff.
Yes, and the good stuff.
But it's the best way to see all the stuff that won't make it onto the homepage. Just
yes.
Kind of the goofy...
Actually, yeah.
Do you want to see pictures of a drunken algae rolling ball?
Yeah,
it's a lot of behind the scenes.
Goofy
stuff.
Pictures of people on the Gear VR.
I told them to do it or they were fired. It's that simple. Let's be honest. Those are pretty drunk. Andrew was showing us Instagram videos of drunken LG rolling bots right now. Rolling bot! So that is it for us from Barcelona.
But
I'm glad we get to do this for you. It's a lot of fun for us. It's a lot of work, but it's a whole lot of fun. So until next time, Derek.
We'll see ya.
Andrew.
Bye-bye.
Alex.
Bye-bye.
Mark.
Later.
Richard?
Adios.
Richard, cleaning stuff out. All right. Thanks, everybody. See ya.